who set fire to his business before driving to the town hall and seizing four members of staff. It happened in the town of Almelo, which is about 100 miles east of the capital, Amsterdam. Alex Tobin from Radio Netherlands Worldwide has the details.
What I understand, there's a past history between the town council and the man, and that they have been in a long-going legal battle about the cafe, which has now been burned to the ground.
Union leaders are vowing to fight plans to cut 260 jobs from a Lancashire call centre run by travel firm Thomas Cook. The Transport Salaries Staffs Association says the decision to axe the posts at Accrington is a body blow to the local economy. The firms plan to transfer work to offices in other parts of the UK. And an unknown number of people have been taken hostage in Holland, as we heard in that report earlier there. And now with your sports, here's Steve Hollisall.
City Sport.
Thank you, Laura. Well, the football fixtures are out and Everton start the new season at home to Blackburn. Liverpool, meanwhile, have an away trip to Sunderland on the 16th of August. Let's look down some of the key fixtures that are going to highlight the season for the two teams. As far as Everton go, January sees a massive week for the Blues. In one space of 7 days, Everton away at Liverpool on the Saturday, midweek at home to Arsenal, and then away to Manchester United on the following Saturday. So a huge week there in January for Everton. Their last game of the season away at Fulham. They've struggled at Fulham, notoriously have the Blues. So they start at home to Blackburn, they finish away at Fulham. As far as Liverpool go, well, September the 13th sees Manchester United visit Anfield. They'll go to Chelsea for the first time on the 25th of October. And towards the end of the season, if Liverpool are vying for anything as far as the title is concerned, the last four games of the season, West Ham away, West Brom away, and then Tottenham Hotspur at home. That completes some of the key highlights for the two teams this season. Tranmere themselves get their League One campaign underway a week before, on the 9th of August, with an away trip to Swindon. The final game is also away from Prenton Park, and that will be at Scunthorpe. Well, the Merseyside derby between the two teams, the one at Goodison is on September the 27th and the one at Anfield on January the 17th. And as far as Reds legend Ian St John thinks about it all, he reckons they're going to be massive matches again.
We had two very, very exciting derby matches last season. I can see the same thing happening again. We don't know at this particular moment in time who will be in our team, because I'm sure we'll be bringing players in, be letting players go. So to speculate, really, at this stage, we don't know.
And you should be able to get a full list of those fixture lists on our website, citytalk.fm. Now, there could be a battle on Merseyside this summer for the services of David Bentley. The midfielder's revealed he wants to leave Blackburn. Liverpool and Everton have both been rumoured to be talking to his agent. Bentley, speaking on Sky Sports, says it's time to leave Ewood Park to further his career.
I love the club and I love playing for him, but I feel like I've done everything I can, and I want to move on and try and push up the ladder and push on and become as successful as I can in football. And I believe that sort of lies elsewhere.
Meanwhile, Blackburn could be about to finally name their new manager, with Steve McLaren, the front-runner, claims this lunchtime the former England boss is in talks at the club, though Sam Allardyce and Paul Ince are also in contention. Tonight at Euro 2008, Germany know they need at least a draw to progress to the quarters. They face Austria at 7:45. At the same time, Poland kick off against Croatia, and they could also still qualify for the last eight. England prop Andrew Sheridan's been ruled out of the second test against New Zealand on Saturday. The Sale Sharks star needed 12 stitches on a cut above his eye, suffered during the weekend defeat to the All Blacks. Uncapped Newcastle youngster David Wilson has been called in to replace him. Formula One chief Bernie Eccleston's admitted the row over motorsport boss Max Mosley could spark a breakaway championship. Eccleston's been calling for Mosley to resign for a while after the FIA president was caught up in a tabloid sex scandal. And organisers of the London Olympics are unveiling plans for the end of this summer's games, when they'll receive the Olympic flag. London Mayor Boris Johnson will pick it up at the Beijing closing ceremony, with a 1.5 billion people watching it worldwide. At the same time, there'll be a free concert taking place on the Mall near Buckingham Palace in London.
City Sport.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
And your weather for Liverpool, the North West and North Wales. After a chilly start to today, most places should have sunshine throughout this afternoon. Some showers likely later on today. Feeling pleasantly warm in the sunshine this afternoon with light winds and highs of 14 and 57.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Contemporary, traditional, timeless. Call 260-7749.
And you've got the latest live from Liverpool. I'm Laura Harms.
The Sullivan Show.
On City Talk 105.9.
Yes, a very good afternoon to you. It is The Sullivan Show. And coming up in this hour, we take an in-depth look at the stories making the headlines. I'll be having my usual rant. And today's big issue, we're asking, do footballers still deserve our devotion? Coming up after 2 o'clock, talking frankly, of course. And after 3, we get out of the studio and into the City Cafe at the top of the tower, catching up on the entertainment news, an 08 update, a celebration of creative health and well-being, and singer Laura Critchley joins me to talk about her tour with Boyzone. That's all coming up on today's show.
This is The Sullivan Show on City Talk 105.9.
Yes, a very good afternoon to you. I'm just having a sip of tea. It is only tea. Yeah, did Steve Hothersall just say something's going to be happening on the Mall? Outside Buckingham Palace on the Mall. I thought only gangsters had malls. Is it the Mall? Anyway, never mind. Splitting hairs. Now, Pearl is out and about at the Cheshire County Show today. And she was telling me last night she has to get up very, very early to get out there and get organising it. But she'll be joining us tomorrow to give us an update on that. Got good weather for it, haven't they? It's a beautiful day out there. Beautiful. The sun is sparkling on the River Mersey. And talking of sun, it was a beautiful weekend. Did you have a good weekend? I had a great weekend. And I was in my garden last night because it was such a beautiful, beautiful evening. And there was the most amazing... you know when you get one of those blue skies? This is in the evening as the sun's setting. And, you know, just a few clouds about. But the sun was catching on the Liverpool skyline, which I can see from my garden. It was absolutely extraordinary. It just looked magical. It's the only word I can think of to describe it. And I went and took a couple of photos. And I was telling Ali about it. My lovely producer, Ali, was telling about it this morning. I said, oh, this sunset, you should have seen it. Or the way that the light was catching on the buildings, especially the new buildings, but even, you know, the cathedral looked great and the Three Graces looked sensational, and the arena. I said, I took a couple of photos. I said, I'll bring them in to show. She went, oh, aye, yeah. Pigs might fly. Because I keep saying, I'll bring you these photos in from this event. I never think. I always remember. I always forget. Typical of me. Never mind. I'll make a little note. Did you ever used to write little notes on your hand to remind you of things? You know what I used to do? I used to smoke. And I used to write little reminders to myself on the cigarette packet. Did you ever do that? You know, just to, and you look there and go, oh, yeah, you've got to do that, and you've got to do that. And but I was always throwing the cigarette packet away. So I was forever rummaging in the bin to find the reminders to myself. Oh, dear, I don't know. Anyway, PAX show, as always, today. That's great news about those lambs. I saw a couple of them this morning. Walked down, got the ferry over. Fantastic. You know that ferry? Oh, if you've not been on the ferry. And I was talking to somebody today, and they were saying to me, this is the first time I've ever been on the ferry. I said, really? You live in Liverpool and you've never been on the ferry? Amazing. Anyway, I was coming over from my side. Huge gang of school kids. You know, primary school kids, all lined up with the teachers and the helpers and the, you know, the people looking after them. There must have been about 50 of them. May have been more. 60 of them. And the head teacher, they were all really excited. The head teacher was in the front of the queue, you know, to get your tickets. She was writing out a cheque. So it must have been a little trip out for them, school trip out. End of term, because they must be breaking. Oh, no, they don't break up till July, do they? The schools. Anyway, they were having a little trip. And I think they were going on that river cruise. It lasts for about an hour. Oh, they were so excited. Look good on them. Nice early introduction
to the ferry. Something we should be proud of. And bring back the ferry to New Brighton. Why did they ever get rid of that one? I used to love getting the ferry to New Brighton. When we were kids, we used to go to the open air swimming pool. Was it Harrison Drive? Fantastic. Who'd go swimming in the open air now? You wouldn't, would you? Everyone's too nesh, aren't they? Oh, can't get in there, too cold. Wasn't heated. It's temperature, but I remember. Isn't it funny that you think back, you know, to your childhood days and everything seemed, you know, rosy? It probably was. But we used to go there, we'd spend hours at the baths in New Brighton, you know, and you'd take your sarnies and bottle of pop. Fantastic place. Hundreds of people there, and the weather was always gorgeous, wasn't it? Weather was always fantastic. I've got a photo, a little old black and white photo of my mum's, of myself, and I think two of my brothers, in our little trunks, which I'm sure, I don't know whether I've imagined this. I'll ring my mum later on, actually. Yeah, what a phone call. And so I'm sure they were knitted. Hand-knitted. I might have that completely wrong. I'll find out. I'll let you know. Anyway, came over on the ferry. Brilliant. You know, and walked through town. It was a gorgeous day. And I saw one of those lamb bananas. You know, just been hearing on the news, the super lamb banana has been rolled out. We were telling you about this a few weeks ago, when they launched the competition for it. To design, you know, a super lamb banana. 119 of them rolled out right across the city. Well, I saw one outside the town hall today. It looked fantastic. And then I was just making a cup of tea upstairs, just looking out the window, because the view up here is fantastic. You could never, ever get tired of this view. And I was looking out through the window across the city, and I spotted another one. And it was, you know, where the Millennium House is, where the council are, or part of the council offices are. Well, there's an entrance into an underground car park. It was above that. Looked fantastic. Anyway, in one of the papers today, the Daily Paper, I think it was in the Post. I'll find out for you because I've got it in front of me. It gives you all the locations of where they are. That'd be a good little trip to do with the kids, wouldn't it? You know, if you're at a loose end the weekend or when the holidays come up, because I think they're here for about 5 weeks before they're going to be auctioned off for charity. So that'd be a good little trip. Go around finding the bananas, Superland bananas. Anyway, Very quickly, I was interested to read this letter from Cynthia Black in the Daily Post letter to the editor. And Cynthia Black says, I was interested to note from Friday's Daily Post that Colleen McLaughlin's wedding dress cost £200,000, some £50,000 more than the cost of an average house in the UK. Of course, it is nice that she has married her Croxteth sweetheart, Wayne Rooney, who has made several fortunes from playing football. But it is no nicer than any young man and woman marrying. The interesting thing to me about this marriage is how it provides us with examples of grossly distorted values. In a country which was once the manufacturing centre of the world and now hardly makes anything, we worship money for its own sake. Long gone is the notion that there should be a link between money and value. What we once called honest-to-goodness work is badly paid, while minor celebrities preen around for fancy sums. What we really need in this country are good and properly rewarded teachers, doctors, plumbers, engineers, factory workers, train drivers, bus drivers, electricians, and so on. We need to restore our values. Couldn't agree more with that one, Cynthia. Although I don't think electricians are badly paid off, do you? Electricians and plumbers. Interesting, though. Interesting. Comments on society. I've just got time. I think I'm going to get my wrist slapped today. Just got time to give him a rant. Jumped out at me, this one. Jumped out at me. This is a pensioner. Okay, this is a pensioner. But, and I don't mean just turned pensionable age. This man's 75, right? So he's well into his pensionable age, okay? 75, just painting a little picture for you. Decides he's going to do a little bit of DIY. So he goes off to the, you know, the DIY mecca, as I call it, B&Q. We'll give it a plug, doesn't matter. Thought he'd buy some paint. Gonna do a few paint jobs around the house. So he toddles himself off to B&Q out in Speke. Right. We've seen that big... It used to be an old... they used to store cars on it years ago when they used to ship cars out from Ford factory. And it's a big shopping mall, or mall. No, shopping mall. And B&Q's then, all the big stores. I often think, you know, a lot of people could go and do all the shopping there. No need to go to town anymore. You ever thought about that one? They've got Next. They've got Borders. What else have they got? B&Q, I mentioned that. Marks and Spencer's, you know, the food store, shop. Anyway, that's by the by. So he takes himself off there and he buys two. What size were they now? Is it 2.5? Yeah, a 5 litre. Oh, and a 5 litre tin of paint and a 2 litre tin of gloss. Right? And he's got them in his hand, you know, toddling off. Anyway, just have a sip of tea. Goes off to catch the bus to go home. The bus pulls up. It says it was an 82A. I remember them. I used to get the 82A. Now we used to get the 82C. Does that still run, I wonder? 82C. I used to get that from Speak to Egbeth to school every day. 82C. Anyway, this Arriva 82A turned up. And as he went to step on, the driver said to him, sorry, you can't get on with paint. It's against Arriva policy. Right? What's wrong with that, do you think? What do you think's wrong with that? Why wouldn't they let him on the bus? Apparently, paint, well, not apparently, I suppose it is a fire hazard. What did this driver think he was going to do? This is a 75-year-old pensioner. You know, the cans were sealed. Yeah? He's a pensioner. He's waiting for the bus. He comes along, and he won't let him on. And the poor man says, it was humiliating. I'll bet it was humiliating. As everyone on the bus was staring at me. I am disgusted, he says. While I could understand not letting teenagers on with spray paint, I'm 75, and I know how to behave. It's ludicrous. Paint hazard? What did he think he was going to do? Take the lid off and throw a match into it? A lit match? It's absolutely ridiculous. Arriva buses, what are you playing at? He's a pensioner. He's not a terrorist. That's making my blood boil.
Dean's Rant. Proven to reduce blood pressure and help calm the nerves. To be taken daily, ideally swallowed whole or with an occasional pinch of salt.
Described as the most important and dynamic business event in the region, the LDP Business Hub 2008 will be a two-day business extravaganza. Taking place at the Liverpool Echo Arena on June 17th and 18th, the LDP Business Hub is a unique opportunity for learning, networking and promoting your business. Be inspired by our keynote speakers, including the co-founder of Coffee Republic and the managing director of Goo Chocolate Puds. For information on all seminars, hub activity and to register for free, visit ldpbusinesshub.co.uk.
A swift story. Mary's Jodie's nan. Mary lives in Speke. Jodie lives in Newcastle. Jodie loves football. Mary loves the internet. Today is Jodie's birthday. Yesterday, Mary bought a footy kit online. Today, thanks to Swift Dispatch and to her mum's horror, Jodie's wearing it to a party.
For next day deliveries, Swift Dispatch is affordable, reliable and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on.
Dine somewhere different. Dine at Jallands Bridewell, Campbell Square. Once a 19th century police station, this elegant and unique restaurant just has to be experienced. And Monday to Friday, between 12 and 3, you can now enjoy our delicious lunch menu. Dishes start from just $2.95. So for hearty food, fine wine, and live music from the Boston Piano, book your table or sell at Jallands Bridewell, Campbell Square, Argyle Street, Liverpool. Call 709-4195.
Cold weather can be a real problem for the elderly.
So if your mum and dad or anyone else you know are over 70, we've got good news for them.
In a government-backed scheme, anyone over 70 qualifies for free loft and cavity wall insulation from A&M Insulations.
A&M Insulations can help elderly people keep warm in winter and save a fortune on heating bills.
Find out if someone you know qualifies for free home insulation. Call A&M Insulations now on 0800 678 1144.
And the catch? Well, there isn't one, so call today.
I'm fed up of going to work every day for a boss that doesn't rate me. I'm tired of making other people rich. I'd love to start my own business, but I'm just not sure where to start.
You need a hand, I can assure you.
If you're looking to start your own business, then speak to Business Link Northwest today. You can get free, impartial business advice to help you start your own business. So just ask. Call 0845 00666 888 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
City Talk.
Words of wisdom.
Nothing is foolproof to a sufficiently talented fool.
City Talk. 105.9. The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
This is The Sullivan Show.
With Dean Sullivan.
On City Talk 105.9. The Big Issue on City Talk 105.9.
Yes, here on The Sullivan Show, it's just gone 25 past one. Today's Big Issue. Football fixtures are out today, and the countdown to the new season can begin in earnest. Are you one of the thousands of hopelessly devoted supporters who follow their team home and away? How much money do you spend, and is it really worth it? Season ticket prices are rising through the roof, while Premier League bosses plan to play 10 extra games a season abroad in a cynical attempt to raise yet more money. Clubs will be involved in a weekend of fixtures staged in five countries, likely to include Australia, the Far East, Middle East, Africa and the USA, picking up an extra £5 million per year for their pains. But have the real fans been forgotten? Have you stopped following your football team because now it's too expensive? Or will you follow them no matter what the cost? Well, get in touch, as today we're asking on our Big Issue, do footballers still deserve our attention? Well, earlier on Breakfast, Phil and Kim spoke to devoted Liverpool fan Colin Bell and asked him how he felt about the season ahead.
To be honest with you, you're saying about, you know, the love of the game, and I mean, the game's changed. It really has changed. You know, I may have to give up my home season ticket, and, like, I didn't really want to do that, but the cost is just, it's spiraling out of control, you know what I mean? And, I mean, to be honest with you, if I could swap my home season ticket for an away season ticket, I would anyway, because the away lads are the hardcore fans, you know, and you know, going away with the lads is brilliant in terms of away games, be it away in Europe and or whatever. It's, you make certain sacrifices, don't you, as opposed to going out and clubbing it and doing this and doing this and doing that, you know. If you're going away, but you can't really do that. You'd have to tighten your belt. You know what I mean? But it is. I mean, what really winds me up is, you know, the likes of EasyJet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can fly to Barcelona for 29 quid.
Yeah.
But the second the Champions League draw's made, it's 329 quid. And I think that's wrong. You know what I mean? I think that's really, really wrong.
Well, Kim and Phil also spoke to City Talk's Peter McDowell, who presents sport weekdays from 7 here on City Talk 105.9. He spoke about how he feels about the fixture announcements.
It's great when they come out, isn't it? As a fan, as a youngster, when I followed Tranmere, I'd be looking forward to the Chester Cities and the Lincolns coming up. But I think it's slightly different for Liverpool and Everton fans. You look for the derbies, don't you? The Man United games for both of them as well. So, well, I mean, I have the utmost admiration for fans who follow their teams everywhere, and I've got lots of mates that do the same. You know, Liverpool and Everton fans who go all over. And as Colin was just saying, it's all about sacrifices, isn't it? You know, your mates have got young families, and often their wives are going out, or they're taking their wives out less than they were maybe a couple of years ago because of the cost, you know. And lots of them, particularly European nights, lots of my mates are going to the ground and buying tickets off touts outside, and they're saying, you know, I'm prepared to pay 80 to 100 quid for a ticket. You think, where's the money coming from? And then, of course, when the kids come along and they want to go to a game, and you take them to a good game, then they want to go to 5 and 10 across the season. I mean, I can remember when my dad used to take us to the game, and, you know, it's all relative, isn't it? But, you know, by the time you get tickets and programmes and the kids want shirts and all the rest of it, I mean, it's an incredible amount of money that people spend on going to the game. I don't know where half of it comes from. Just great dedication to the cause. But as you say, even watching, you know, League One football, you know, it's 16 to 18 quid at cheap grounds to watch a game. And put that in context with some of the quality of football, you know, no disrespect to the likes of Tranmere, but, you know, League One, Two, Champions Champions League or Premier League level, you know, is a huge gulf, not just in, you know, what the players earn, but in what kind of quality that they produce on the field as well. And if you think about it, you know, 16 to 18 quid to watch a game of football is a lot of money as well. You know, you're taking kids along, it's the same thing. And these fans going up to grounds in League One away from home, not the greatest atmosphere either once you get there. And then, of course, you've got to negotiate days off and all that kind of thing. It's incredible, really.
That's today's big issues. Are we? Do footballers still deserve our devotion? Well, we mentioned earlier about the fixtures. Joining me now from our sports team with news of the fixtures is Liam Blythe. Good afternoon, Liam.
Hi, Dean. How are you doing?
Good. Now, fixtures. Just imagine that there might be a couple of listeners out there who have no idea what this is all about. Just give us a fool's breakdown.
Someone like Dean Sullivan, for example.
Possibly.
Fixtures out today. It's a long summer, especially when you've got no England involved in Euro 2008. Obviously, everyone's enjoying that tournament. But the only thing you've got to keep you going as far as sort of Tranmere, Liverpool and Everton are concerned is a bit of transfer speculation. So finally, today, a bit of hard news that you can actually look forward to the season ahead with. Liverpool, we'll start with them. First game of the season for them, away at Sunderland. So in terms of any needle for Liverpool against Sunderland, well, Roy Keane is what it'll all be about there. Roy Keane up against Liverpool last season, 2-0. Liverpool won that fixture last season. That was fairly early on. So Rafa Benitez and Steven Gerrard will be more than happy with a similar repeat of that fixture. Looking to the last game of the season at home to Tottenham, and Spurs have been a bit of a bogey team for Liverpool over the past few seasons, and the Reds dropped 2 points against them in that fixture last season. But if you look towards the end of the season for Liverpool, well, I think if you're Rafa Benitez today and you look at those fixtures, then you think, well, if we can just get to within just a few points of the top of the table with around, you know, five games or so to go, I think you'd probably fancy your chances, because looking at the running as far as Liverpool are concerned, well, it's not looking too bad. Those last five games, Hull City, Newcastle, West Ham United, West Brom, and then Spurs at home in your final game. Well, those five games, I think if you're a Liverpool fan and you are in with a shot at the title, then you'd probably fancy your chances of getting pretty much maximum points out of those five.
So how does that all work then? How do they make these draws, these fixtures?
There's a big clever computer that the FA plug in, let it go, we're away, and they come up with the fixtures. Now, it's meant to be entirely sort of neutral in terms of the fixtures it pulls out. Obviously, Liverpool and Everton can't play at home ever on the same weekend due to policing matters. But
so they just feed all that information into the programme?
In theory, you'd think they'd feed it all in there and it would come out with a load of random fixtures. However, coincidentally, over the past few seasons, we have ended up with what TV have liked to call Super Sundays, whereby sheer coincidence, of course, you've ended up with Manchester United, Chelsea, Liverpool and Arsenal all playing on the same weekend, which seems
a bit sceptical about all of that, Liam.
It seems very nice for Sky TV that they end up with a couple of Super Sundays every season.
Do you think the money boys are involved in it then?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's no coincidence that you end up with a couple of those big weekends, which are obviously nice for TV to plug in and hype into the big weekends of the season. And I think, I don't know, it makes for good viewing for fans as well, but I suppose other clubs might say, well, if certain fixtures are being manipulated, maybe it's not fair on our teams. I mean, looking at Everton, not really many glamour ties looking at the big ones for Liverpool and Everton. At home to Blackburn, Everton are the Premier League fixtures kicking off on the 16th of August. Blackburn without a manager at the moment. Mark Hughes has gone. He's off to Man City, so we wait and see who comes in there. I think Everton will fancy their chances of getting off to a win in that first game. I suspect one or two Blackburn players will leave, the likes of David Bentley, who's a Blackburn winger, who's talked today about his desire to leave Blackburn. Also up front, Roque Santa Cruz, a man who's been linked with a move to Manchester United, amongst another club's. And the last game of the season for Everton, away at Fulham. And Fulham have had a bit of a decent run of form against Everton. Everton banished that last season a touch, but probably not one that the Blues would have fancied. And, of course, the fixtures that a lot of people on Merseyside will look towards when these fixtures come out. The derbies, the Goodison derby is on September the 27th, and the Anfield derby is January the 17th.
Do you think managers look at these fixtures very carefully as to, you know, when we're talking about planning their season of training and so on?
I think they have to. If you look at the way the games are grouped, I suppose, you know, it doesn't really matter if you win every game or you put your best effort into every game. It doesn't really matter where the games fall. But if you look at Liverpool's fixtures, for example, well, there's quite a nice spread in terms of the games against the big teams, the real grudge matches. So if you look at September, which is probably Liverpool's toughest month. Then you've got Man United, Stoke in between them, and then that derby against Everton. But apart from that, there's no real sort of grouping of tough games, your Arsenal and Chelsea games.
So that's good news for them, then.
That's great news for Liverpool. I think you'd rather have those games sort of spread out rather than having them in a big bunch, whereas Everton, well, October's going to be a tricky month for Everton. It starts off with Newcastle, then back-to-back Arsenal and Man United. So if you're being honest, I think, as a blue, I mean, the chances are you'd maybe look for draws in those two games, but if you're looking at picking up wins, well, it's unlikely. And then you look ahead to January, and, well, it's not a great way to start the new year. Hull, fine, take that one at home at Goodison. 3 points there, fingers crossed. Followed by Liverpool away, Arsenal at home, and Man United away. And to have those three games back to back, you're potentially dropping 9 points while those teams around you can carry on ticking over. I mean, it evens itself up over the course of a season, but I think there is a school of thought that could say, well, if you have those games back to back, it's not ideal for the manager and for the players.
How do Tranmere fare?
Tranmere, well, away at Swindon, away on the first game and away on the last game, which again you might say two big games. Unfortunate, you want to get off to a flyer. And if you are in the thick of it come the end of the season, you really would like a home game at Prenton Park if it's going to go down to the last game against Scunthorpe. So Swindon away to kick off on the 9th of August, and that last game, Scunny away on the 2nd of May. I mean, you'd hope by that point that Tranmere would either have secured themselves an automatic promotion spot or maybe even a playoff spot, one of the two. So hopefully it might not go down to that game. But away the two of those, again, not ideal, but I suppose it comes out like that, and that's the way it has to go for someone.
And Liam, you're one of the lucky ones. You don't have to fork out for a season ticket, do you?
Because
you do match commentaries.
Yeah, it's one of the perks of the job. You do get to go to the games, but you know, I've been a season ticket holder in the past, and it is an expensive business.
I was going to say, what's your take on it? Because the news is out there, isn't it? That, you know, season ticket prices are going up.
I think here on Merseyside, we don't get too hard a time compared to the rest of the country. That said, it is still extremely expensive. You look at Liverpool, we know that there's been AFC Liverpool, which is the affordable version of Liverpool that has been set up to try and combat some of these problems. But it costs you a fortune. Your season ticket, I know, for Liverpool, if you're talking a bog standard season ticket, £600, maybe Everton, maybe sort of £400, £500 mark. Throw into that all your travel. You go to the game, you have a pie at half-time, you have a pint at half-time, you have your drinks beforehand. It turns into a very, very expensive business over the course of the season.
And the 08-09 season kicks off what date?
The Premier League on August the 16th. And if you're a Tranmere fan, a week earlier, the Premier League delayed because of the Euros. Tranmere kick-off against Swindon on the 9th of August.
Liam Blythe there. Thanks, Liam, from our sports team with news of the fixtures just announced. Now then, yes, as Liam mentioned, it is expensive to go to the football match, and all that money you've got to fork out if you are a season ticket holder, and the news that the prices of season tickets are going up. Our big issue question that we're asking today, well, yes, do footballers still deserve our devotion? Well, at the end of the day, they give a lot of pleasure, don't they, to an awful lot of people. You know, it's the national sport. You know, despite the fact that, you know, prices are going through the roof, people make certain sacrifices in order to support their team. As we heard in one of the Voxes earlier, you know, the devoted supporters, I suppose, are the ones who go abroad, follow them away. Yes, the big lads, the big groups, the big teams, the big boys who run it all, really, they're out to make a profit. That's what it's all about. It's big business. You know, and the news that there are going to be matches abroad, how much is that going to cost the fans? Are they going to fly out to Australia? Cost you a fortune just to see a football match. You'd have to be a really devoted fan to do that. And never mind a devoted fan. You'd have to be a rich fan. Rich. Gone are the days when a dad or a parent or a mum or a guardian could take the two kids to the match on a regular basis. Well, maybe a lot of them do. But it costs a fortune, that's for sure. But anyway, today's big issue. Do footballers still deserve our devotion? I'd say yes, because, you know, they give a lot of pleasure to a lot of people. Let us know what you think. You can vote on that at citytalk.fm and we'll bring you the result of that poll in the Paul Jacobs Drive Time Show. That's today's big issue. Do footballers still deserve our devotion? And if you want to know what I think, I've just told you.
Vote now on today's big issue at www.citytalk.fm.
The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
There's one thing guaranteed to make you feel fantastic, and that's inner confidence. At Spire Murrayfield Hospital on the Wirral, we understand making a change can make a big difference. So, for everyone longing to get their legs out this summer, we're offering 15% off our laser vein removal treatments throughout July and August. Why cover up when you could call our dedicated team of experts today on 0151 929 5408. Spire Murrayfield Hospital, Homewood Drive, Thingwall on the Wirral.
If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front Scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 7755 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
To be taught by inspirational professors and top academics.
To have access to the country's best educational resources, including the fastest growing virtual learning environment.
To focus on my future career.
To discover a life with more meaning.
That's why I chose Liverpool Hope University.
The Liverpool Hope Open Day takes place on Saturday, June the 21st. To find out more, click hope.ac.uk or text HOPE to 84880.
Text charged at standard network rate.
I moved into my boyfriend's place 6 weeks ago and my old flat's still vacant. It hasn't stopped me getting rent.
My investment property's been vacant for 3 weeks, but the mortgage is still covered.
Northwood's unique guaranteed rental income scheme means you'll never miss a penny in rent, even when your property's vacant. No catches, no fees, no insurance policies, just peace of mind. Call Liverpool 256 1035 to guarantee your rent gets paid. Northwood, Liverpool 256 1035.
Formby Cycles Sefton Triathlon is the biggest community triathlon in the UK. From 9 till 4, Saturday, June 28th on Crosby Beach, join over 1,000 competitors running, swimming and cycling their way to the finish line. With medals presented by Kenny Dalglish. Do it for charity. Do it for fun. Do it because you can. For information and registration forms, visit seftontriathlon.co.uk today. Cash for Kids invites you to Formby Cycles Sefton Triathlon in association with St Mary's College Crosby and City Talk 105.9.
The voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9. This is The Sullivan Show.
With Dean Sullivan.
On City Talk 105.9.
Yes, it's Dean Sullivan on The Sullivan Show here at City Talk 105.9. It's just gone 20 to 2. As always, City Talk 105.9 has something for everyone. 24 hours a day. Did you know that? 24 hours a day. A day. Talk station here in Liverpool, the heart of Liverpool, broadcasting to Merseyside, North Wales, and the Great North West, and online. Yes. We'll be talking to someone a little later in the show who listens online. Something for everyone today after my show, of course. Paul Jacobs is with you on Drive Time. Always a good listen. Peter McDowell with you with City Sport from 7. Pete Price from 10. Through the early hours of the morning, Roy Basner takes you right through till 6 o'clock. Tonight he's talking about clubland security. Is it over the top? And he's got his special guest in, who's Bill Harry, the man who created Merseybeat. And his regular slot on the shelf, where they do their book review. As always, in the morning from 6, it's breakfast with Phil and Kim. Duncan Barks from 9 o'clock. City Surgery at 12 with Will Batchelor. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, you're back to Dino with The Sullivan Show. Something for everyone, any time of the day or night. Now then, I was talking about them earlier on, Superland Banana. Well, today, Liverpool does go Superland Bananas with the launch of a city-wide public art event featuring 119 of the iconic sculptures, each one totally unique and a celebration of our great city. Well, Julia Bold's been out on the streets to find out your reaction to them.
If you're travelling around Liverpool today, you can't fail to spot the invasion of the super lamb banana.
I've seen a couple, haven't we, all different ones? There's two down there, we just keep spotting them everywhere.
I've spotted lime trees, spotted there. There's a couple of them across from London Road, on the, you know, where the fountain is, there's two there.
There's one by the university with a cap and gown on.
The unofficial symbol of our great city. Now there are 119 customised replicas dotted around for everyone to spot.
They're a bit mad, aren't they? Something different to look at.
They're all right.
I think they're brilliant. They're really good.
The project Go Superland Banana has been designed with the Capital of Culture Year in mind to spruce up our city. But Liverpool Council leader Warren Bradley knows that everyone here will welcome the new creatures with open arms.
The quirky, I know through the fire service and the community, we were offered the opportunity to do one. And I saw a few quite unique, creative Superland bananas coming out of the fire stations. But you're right, it is about local people being able to touch something, and I think Superland Banana offers that opportunity.
Liverpool also famous for its football, of course, and I saw driving past Goodison this morning, there was one in an Everton shirt outside there.
I'm pleased about that, and there's also the Rafa Benitez one, isn't there? So yeah, everybody's really engaged with it, it's great. And that was what, you know, Capital Culture was all about. It was about, you know, the big events like the international tennis, Macca coming back, tall ships, but it's also about, you know, the very small community-based events and making people, you know, say, wow, look at that. And I know driving in this morning, I did exactly the same, you know, on London Road. There's the Superland Bananas all out and about, like the walking round, you know, it's great.
And you mentioned the Rafa Benitez one there. He himself went to visit his one, didn't he, and stood with a Liverpool shirt. What did he make of it?
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, it's ironic, isn't it? Every time you see something that is supposed to depict you, you always frown at it, don't you, and think that doesn't look anything like me. But I think that it's there for the right reasons. You know, Rafa Benitez has done an awful lot for Liverpool Football Club, and it's right and proper that he should be depicted, you know, in such a way in Superland Banana heritage.
Why do you think these Superland Bananas have proved so popular in Liverpool? Because they're an odd shape, aren't they? They're a very unique thing to look at.
I remember when it first arrived in Liverpool and everybody was saying, that's a load of rubbish, get it off our streets. And it's like anything, the same was said of the Royal Ivor buildings when they were built. You know, things grow on you and people become very parochial towards something like the Superland Banana. And I suppose it is the pet of Liverpool, isn't it? You know, everybody loves it. And interestingly, when somebody mentioned that there was a chance of it going, we saw massive campaigns to keep it here. And that campaign is ongoing. You know, we've got to get the artist back in the city and talk to him. But it is about part of Liverpool's heritage now, and I'm pleased that something quite unique, quite different, can form part of a city's heritage that has the history Liverpool does.
Do you think the artist himself is quite shocked at how much Liverpool's adopted his piece of Superland Banana artwork?
I'm sure he is, because if you remember, he just discarded it in Liverpool all those years ago, so it was I think he's probably a little bit taken aback, and it's travelled around, hasn't it? It's been up at the airport, it's been down on the Dock Road, it's now up on Tide Barn Street, so it's good to see it moving around as well. I've always thought that public art should move around the city, not just in the city centre. Everybody should be able to look and feel visual art as it moves around.
And as you say, it's about in the city, and now we've got over 100 of them about. So it's a different form of art as well, isn't it? Years ago, we used to say, you go and look at art and you stand in a very quiet art gallery, just look at it and discuss it on your way home. But it's out there in the community, this, isn't it? It's there, you can touch it, you can have your picture next to it.
Art should be about people being able to look at it and comment on it. And it's commenting on it whether they're in, you know, the pub, whether in the art gallery. I think everybody should be given that opportunity. I think Capital Culture has offered that opportunity, because all the partners, Lewis Biggs at the Biennial has really pushed forward, you know, on visual art on the streets, and I think it's important that we continue that as we move forward.
I've already said it's a unique piece of artwork, and I suppose Liverpool's a unique city in the world, isn't it? So it's only right that the two have come together.
It is, yeah. It's great, isn't it? And it's great to see so many of them on the streets now, and we can all celebrate them. But all I would ask is that nobody tries to deface them, nobody tries to stick things on them, because they are there for everybody to enjoy, and that's probably the most important thing over the next 5 or 6 weeks. Let's make sure that when the Superland Bananas come back in, that they are in the same condition they went out in.
But what exactly does Liverpool make of the 119 mini Superland bananas?
I think they're brilliant. They're really good and all the different designs. There's one by the university with a cap and gown on. That was quite amusing this morning. Very good.
That's it. The ones this morning, I'm sure people have spotted, they're all customised, aren't they? There's Liverpool ones, Everton ones, like you say, university ones.
Brilliant. I think it's really good. And to spot them will be good. It's the different designs.
Do you think Liverpool's really adopted them now? Because they're quite unusual.
Definitely. I think they were a bit weird at first, but now I think they're quite good.
I think a lot of people didn't like them, did they?
Yeah. But it was different though, aren't we? Made the mark.
They sum up Liverpool unique.
Definitely.
They're all right, aren't they? They're different. Like, when the first one came out, that yellow banana that used to be down on the dock there, I couldn't stand it. Well, I don't mind these different coloured ones. The yellow one I can't sell.
They're a bit more personal, these ones, to Liverpool,
yeah,
aren't they?
They're not as big as the original one, is it? They're all right.
Seeing a few, like, they're a bit mad, aren't they?
What do you make of them, then? Do you like them?
Yeah, they're good, but as if everyone's going to leave them alone, not rice all over them when they're not in junk, isn't it?
Fingers crossed they go. I mean, there's over 100 around the city, so plenty of fun for people to spot the different ones.
Oh, yeah, we've seen a couple, haven't we, all different ones. Like, that's a plant pot thing, isn't it, that one?
Two down there.
Yes.
Yeah, there's two down there we've seen one somewhere else before as we were driving through. We just keep spotting them everywhere, and we keep saying, there's another one.
Do you like the fact Liverpool's taking them on? Because they're quite a unique statue in themselves.
Something different, isn't it? Something to, like, symbolise Liverpool as well, isn't it? Because everyone says Liverpool, ooh, don't go there, but, you know, it's something to give it our status, isn't it? So
I think they look really good.
So everyone seems fairly happy with the latest additions to our city, but of course the fight goes on to keep them here permanently. The original yellow Superland banana was only ever loaned to Liverpool for 10 years. The artist now is considering keeping it here, but it could move to Manchester. But would Manchester even want it?
I'm from Manchester, so I haven't noticed it, no. So
oh, right, you're from Manchester. I suppose the controversial thing is that they might be going to Manchester. Would you want them in Manchester?
Doesn't make any difference to me, honestly.
Well, there you go. Our city's rivals down the M62 don't seem too keen on our new friend. But Warren Bradley hopes that we can hang on to the Superland banana.
We're waiting for the artist to come and speak to us and his agent. I've got no doubt that it won't be going to Manchester. It will be staying in Liverpool because, as I say, it's part of Liverpool's heritage. So it's up to everybody in Liverpool, not just the City Council, to support the campaign. And if need be, you know, and we've got to buy the rights to Superland Banana, well, everybody's got to dig deep and make sure that we've got enough money to keep it here, because it's not the City Council's, it's everybody's Superland Banana.
And would Liverpool really want to wave goodbye to the Superland Banana?
No way. No way. They can't take those off us. Definitely.
Oh, no, they shouldn't do that, because we've had that big yellow one forever, haven't we, sort of thing now? It seems like we've had it forever.
We left here and leave them here so we can all keep looking at them. Something different to look at, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I am definitely against that. I wouldn't let you go to Manchester.
Well, the people of Liverpool and the capital of culture visitors will have loads of fun, I'm sure, spotting the new additions to our city. But make the most of them, because they're only going to be here for the next 5 weeks. After that, all the sculptures from the Go Superland Banana project will be auctioned off for charity.
The Second Chance Hotel, the secret life of Adelaide House.
In the last 10 years, the female prison population of England has doubled. In 1993, the figure was 1,500. In 2007, this had risen to over 4,500. Spread out across the country's 17 women's prisons, life inside is incredibly tough. In 2006, 37% of female inmates had attempted suicide and 70% had mental health problems. These problems, however, don't simply disappear when they're released. To try to combat the alarming reoffending rate, released prisoners are often sent to a hostel to try to prepare them for life on the outside. Well, Adelaide House in Liverpool is one of these hostels, where the staff work tirelessly in their commitment to aid the rehabilitation of the residents and give them a fighting chance of living a normal life. All this week, we're looking at life behind the door of Adelaide House in Liverpool through the eyes of the women who live there.
The Second Chance Hotel, the secret life of Adelaide House.
I live at Adelaide House and I'm currently living in room 12. Since I've been here, as you can see, I put, like, different photos up of, like, my friends, my family, and, like, there's my mum's two dogs as well. But it's just, like, you know, it's just so, it reminds me, like, my family, and, like, you know, I feel better with, like, having my pictures up and my toiletries and things like that, you know, just, like, we've made our room cosier and our own. I've been in here for about 2 months or something now. Before I came here, I came from jail, and like before I was like I started living here, I was a bad drug user. Since I've been in here, I haven't used at all. I've been totally clean, and I think like a lot of that's to do with the hostel. It's the atmosphere, you know, the staff like really care, and it does make a difference. You get regular urine tests as well, which help to like a deterrent to keep you away from drugs, and like they really help you with like support and counselling. I'm currently at college as well, which is like it, this time last year, if someone had told me like this had been my life, you know, I wouldn't have believed it, but I'm made up. But you know, I've really turned my life around. I was on drugs for 8 years, and I was on heroin and crack cocaine. And I've been like, I'm 27 now. I've been in and out of jail 17 times, so that gives you an idea of how my life was. You know, it was just, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd, you know, go and score, go shoplifting. If I was lucky, I wouldn't get caught. And like, that's why I've been in and out of jail so many times. It's a long story. I was only young. I was only like about 18 or something. I was working abroad, and I met some lad. And while I was out there, he was selling it. And I thought I knew everything, but I knew nothing. And I ended up coming back to Liverpool, and I just got into it, like, through him. At first, when I first came in, my mum was a bit dubious because she's heard it all before. You know, I'm, like, trying to get my head together. But now, like, she's seen, and she's, like, she spoke to a few of the staff, and she knows, like, how the hostel works. She's made up. I think she's just glad that she's got her daughter back, and, you know, out of, like, my mum always says to me now, out of everyone, I was dead strong. Even as a kid, she never thought I'd have gone on them. But, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen or what's around the corner, and, you know, unfortunately, it did. Things like you wouldn't do normally when, you know, if you're not a drug user, you know, you'd do anything because you're addicted to something, and you your body needs it. So it just makes you a horrible person. But, like, really, my mum never really seen that side of my life. She never seen me, really, like, you know, when I was, like, really down and things. But, you know, even if she didn't see that side of my life, what she seen was bad enough, so it did destroy her. But I think she's just made up now, but I think she's still scared in case I slip up. But that's just down to me to stay strong. My first few sentences, I hated jail, and then I think I just got used to it. It was just, like, not new. Like, the first time I went, I was panicking. I didn't know what to expect. I thought, oh, God, it's going to be full of bullies and this, that, and the other. And when you get there, it's not that bad. Like, it's not as bad as what you think it's going to be, and it just became, like, a way of life to me. Obviously, it was down to the drugs, because now I'm off them. You know, I haven't been like arrested once, and you know I'm sort of like trying to stay on the straight and narrow. So it was all down to drugs, and it's all part and parcel. You know, you start using, you go to jail, and it's just like the norm to you. I'm not totally clean, I'm on methadone now, but you know it's prescribed off the doctor, and you can live a stable life with it. And it's just great waking up in the morning, and I'm not dependent on something where I'm not physically ill, and you know I can just go to sleep at night normal and wake up feeling normal. And for the last like 2 years of me being on drugs, I hated it. All I wanted was just to go to sleep at night and wake up normal. Well, from here, like, obviously in a few months when I'm a bit more stronger, I want to get my own accommodation. I'm in college now, I'm only doing hair and beauty, but it's something I'm interested in, it's something I like. You know, I'd like to work in a hairdressing salon and just, you know, be able to pay my bills and shut my door at the end and just have a normal life. And that's it, I think.
The Second Chance Hotel, the secret life of Adelaide House.
And that was our reporter, Alex Davis, with that report. And you can hear more stories from Adelaide House every day here on The Sullivan Show. Well, coming up next, we're going to be talking frankly. I've had a couple of emails in, just concerning a few things we've been talking about today. Hi, Dean. I'd like you to mention and thank Merseyrail for helping my wife and I with helping getting a ramp sorted for my wife's wheelchair to get on and off at South Parkway and Liverpool Central. Thanks, Dean, and that's regards from John Sawfleet. So that's a bit of good news. Great. And we were also talking earlier about footballers. Do they still deserve our devotion? This is an email doesn't actually give a name, but they say, no, definitely not. Football players and clubs are greedy and are not interested in how their extravagant lifestyle affects the rest of us. So there you go. Let us know what you think. You're listening to The Sullivan Show here on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. Coming up next, as I said, talking frankly. And then after 3 o'clock, we get out of the studio and into the City Cafe, catching up on all the arts news. Coming up next is all your news and sport. You're listening to City Talk 105.9.
Radio stations. Choices for listening.
It's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Radio City 96.7, Liverpool's hit music station. Magic 1548, the best of the 60s, 70s and more.
The magic number.
Radio City, Magic 1548, City Talk 105.9.
Are you creative?
Energetic?
And full of ideas?
Then come and work with us.
At Halton Borough Council, we'll give you all the training you need to work from home as a registered childminder. So for a taste of a new career working with children, visit our Childcare Information Day on Wednesday, June the 18th at Halton Lee Shopping Centre. Or call Halton Children's Information Service on 01928 704 306 or click halton.gov.uk now.
In association with National Childcare Month.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
Under the Data Protection Act, your company could be at risk if you don't dispose of personal information securely. If your business deals with confidential information, you need Planet Recycling. As one of the Northwest's largest data destruction providers, Planet are fully licensed to shred and dispose of data securely and cost-effectively. Is your company protected? For a free survey, call 0151 922 6668 or click planetrecycling.co.uk.
Across Merseyside
on 105.9 FM
and DAB Digital Radio.
This is City Talk.
It's our gangland shooting victim remembered.
City Talk
News.
It's 2 o'clock. Good afternoon. Tributes are being paid to a man gunned down just yards from a Liverpool police station in a gangland execution. 32-year-old David Garrity died after he was shot in the chest in the early hours of yesterday morning. He was trying to escape from his killer in Kirkdale when he was hit by a single bullet fired from a white Volvo in what police say was a targeted attack. Dozens of flowers have now been laid at the scene. This woman was among those paying their respects.
Such a shame, because he was lovely. Everybody loved him. He was a good person. A lovely lad growing up. But so sad.
In other news, police are probing reports that a Runcorn dad found dead in North Wales with his two children was a member of Fathers for Justice. He was discovered in a country lane in the Conwy Valley on Father's Day. The two youngsters, a boy and a girl, were both aged under 10. Their parents were separated and their mum had reported them missing after a day out. George Bush has praised the Prime Minister for being tough on terrorism. The US President and Gordon Brown have held talks at Downing Street this morning. At a joint press conference, the PM hailed the American leader as a true friend of Britain. The pair also denied reports of unhappiness at the White House over UK plans for withdrawing troops from Iraq. Mr. Brown insists they have joint goals.
In Iraq, there is a job to be done. That job is to speed up economic and social development, and that job is to have local government elections so that Iraqis can take control of their own democracy, and I'm determined that we continue to do that job.
A professional footballer has appeared in court over the deaths of two young boys. The mother of Aaron and Ben Peake was there to see Luke McCormick given bail. The Plymouth Argyle goalkeepers caught charged with causing death by dangerous driving. The boys, aged 8 and 10, were killed in a crash on the M6 in Staffordshire earlier this month. More than a million people have been forced to flee their homes after flooding in southern China. At least 57 have died across 9 provinces. The flooding comes just a month after 70,000 people were killed in an earthquake in the southwest province of Sichuan. 260 jobs are under threat at travel firm Thomas Cook in Lancashire. Union bosses say any cuts would be a body blow to the northwest and say they'll fight the proposals. Company managers in Accrington say they plan to transfer work to offices in other parts of the UK to cut costs. It follows the merger between Thomas Cook and Going Places last year. Now, Liverpool's infamous Super Lamb Banana has had babies. 119 copies of the sculpture have appeared around the city for the week. Each one totally unique and a celebration of our city. They'll be around Merseyside for the next 5 weeks before they are auctioned off for charity. Council leader Warren Bradley hopes everyone enjoys spotting the invasion of our an official mascot.
Quirky, and it's great to see so many of them on the streets now, and we can all celebrate them. All I would ask is that nobody tries to deface them, nobody tries to stick things on them, because they are there for everybody to enjoy, and that's probably the most important thing over the next 5 or 6 weeks. Let's make sure that when the Superland bananas come back in, that they are in the same condition they went out in.
TV psychiatrist Dr. Raj Persaud admitted using plagiarised material in a book and articles he wrote. The doctor's best known for his appearances on daytime shows like This Morning. A General Medical Council misconduct hearing has been told he copied 4 documents and passed others off as his own, which were published in journals and newspapers. And Inter Milan's president says his club's number one priority is to sign Chelsea's Frank Lampard. Former Blues boss Jose Mourinho's just taken over at the San Siro, and it's thought he wants to work with Lampard again. President Massimo Moratti's hinting his club may already have made an approach for the 29-year-old.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
And your weather for Liverpool, the northwest and North Wales: sunshine throughout this afternoon, pleasantly warm and light winds in most places. Some showers are likely this evening though, highs of 14 and 57.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Showrooms at Belmont Road, Anfield and Woodchurch Road, Prenton.
And you've got the latest live from Liverpool. I'm Laura Harms.
This is The Sullivan Show.
The Sullivan Show.
On City Talk 105.9.
Yes, The Sullivan Show. It's just coming up to 2:05. Still to come after 3 o'clock, we get out of the studio and into the City Cafe, catching up on all the entertainment news. We're getting an 08 update, a celebration of creative health and well-being. And singer Laura Critchley joins me to talk about her tour with Boyzone. That's all coming up on today's show.
This is The Sullivan Show on City Talk 105.9.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Talking frankly with Dean Sullivan. City Talk 105.9.
Yes, it's that time of the week. Middle hour when we're talking frankly with my special guests here in the studio, Frank Sanderson from John Moores University. And we're still waiting for Frank Moores to come in, but he's on his way. He's been delayed. And today, an honorary Frank, Joe Kenny. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Dean.
First time on Talking Frankly.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about yourself to our listeners.
I'm a political community activist. I'm at the moment working up in Kirby with some residents regarding the Everton Football Stadium.
Very good.
Looking to turn the site that they're looking at to put the stadium into a village green, which will probably make some big headlines if that goes ahead.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Is that what the residents want up there, then?
Well, it's interesting. The residents haven't really been asked, in truth. There's never been a referendum. Each individual hasn't asked that, but the key issue really is, should a stadium be built in a residential area? And, you know, all the planning law says it isn't. So it may get called in anyway. But if this application goes ahead and is accepted by Kirby Council, and it meets all the legal criteria, ticks all the boxes, then all that area will be saved for time and all eternity. And it was at one time, as you know, a tip up there. But for the last 25, 30 years, people have used it freely for playing games on and sports and recreation. In fact, I remember the captain of Liverpool, Phil Thompson, trained on there. There's a photograph of him just before the 1977 European Cup final, in fact, because he missed out on that, if you remember.
Excellent. Okay, well, I'm sure we'll come back to that. It's a hot topic at the moment. Yeah. But joining us on the line at the moment is our roving international reporter, calling us all the way from Japan, Del Wilden. How are you?
Hello, Dean. I'm fine, thank you. I should be saying konnichiwa. How are you?
Very well, very well. What time is it there in Japan?
It's late, Dean. It's just 7 minutes after 10 in the evening here. Wide awake.
Okay. And where are you exactly?
I'm in a place called Narita. I think most people, as even I did when I first started flying, thought that if you come to Tokyo, you actually fly into Tokyo. There's two airports. There's one called Narita, one called Haneda. Haneda's in the centre, which is domestic, and I flew into Narita, which is a tiny little village about 20 minutes away from the main international airport.
Great, so you are an international fan of the show. Well, you're often listening, yeah, don't you, Del? But you get all over the world. What is it you do? Just remind our listeners.
I work for a major airline, and I'm a purser on board 747s and 777s. So, yeah, I get to see pretty much everywhere, really.
And is it as glamorous as they try to make out?
Ask me that at about 5 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to force myself to sleep before a 12-and-a-half-hour flight, and no, it isn't really, but it's nice to see these places. As I've said before, Dean, City Talk is a godsend in these places now. It's brilliant to be able to tune in and listen to a piece of home, really.
Excellent. Well, you were telling me, what is the name of the town you're in?
A place called Narita.
Narita's not the most exciting place in the world, you were saying.
It isn't the most exciting place, no. I know you're a lover of art and arty things. Yeah. I think one thing that would probably appeal to you here, Dean, is there's a temple here called the Narita-san Shirishoji Temple. It's a really impressive sort of building and nice to sort of visit. But amongst that, there's other sort of like shops and bits and bobs around the town. Lots of eating places that are geared towards sort of Western airline crews, noodle bars and drinking establishments, it's a very strange place. I've been out there today, and I sent you some pictures, actually.
The pictures. They're fantastic. Well, they're not fantastic. They're interesting pictures.
Very interesting.
I wouldn't like to live there.
No, it's a weird place, Dave. I've said to many times before, everything seems so small here, whether it's because I carry a few extra pounds and they all look at you like you're a giant and you're about to eat them. it's a very strange place.
I think as a nation they are generally smaller, aren't they?
They are, definitely. The roads look tiny, the streets look tiny. I was looking, there was even a roadwork set up on one of the roads, and they look like little Legoland pieces. You know, that's how small everything seems, you know. As I say, it's a very interesting place, and Tokyo itself is about an hour from here on the express train. And I believe 2 hours on, an express bus. They have problems with traffic here, obviously. But, it's a very, very strange place. But I'll be glad to get home tomorrow evening to the Wirral.
But, of course, one place that you always visit when you're out in Japan is the 100 yen shop. Our pound shop?
It's exactly like the pound shop. In fact, it's better value, Dean, because at the moment it's roughly 200 yen to £1. So it's literally 50 pence shop. And knowing that you're a fan of bargains and things, and it was your birthday last week, I do believe.
Oh, it was, yes.
And I did miss it, didn't send you anything decent, so I thought what I'd do is pop out and see if I can find you anything.
Oh, so you've splashed out the cash then and been to the 100 yen shop.
The cash. And I tell you what, it was a struggle, Dean, and what do you get the man that has everything?
Yes, go on then.
In the 100 yen shop.
I dread to think.
So I did push the boat out, Dean. You're now the proud owner, I'm proud to say, of a piece of sushi made into a key ring. You now have your very own shiny pair of chopsticks for those takeaway evenings in with you and Jane.
Lovely.
I've got your lovely snack pack of dried fish, comes complete with the eyes still in.
Oh, sounds lovely.
Now, the next thing, I don't even know how you would describe it or what you'd do with it or why you'd have a use of it. An ear pick. We have toothpicks. There's an ear pick here.
An ear pick?
An ear pick.
Never knew of the existence of those.
Don't. And I'll tell you what, Dean, I think you'll be the envy of everybody at City Talk when you nip to the loo and pull out your very own toweling, washable, toilet seat warmer, stroke, cover, whatever, in navy blue. Doesn't get much better than that. I mean, it's a glamorous job, Dean.
That'll go well in my guest bathroom. There's blue in there, so it'll match up. Very nice. Well, I should look forward to receiving those gifts.
I will get them to you, Dean, when I'm home.
So when are you back home? When do you fly back?
UK time, I get picked up at 4 in the morning, which is midday here.
Right.
And I land back into Heathrow at 17:15 tomorrow evening. And I'm hoping, if I can race across and get the 20-to-8 shuttle up to Manchester, and I'll be having a glass of wine thrust into my hand, I hope, by about 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Okay, well, just stay with us for the second there.
Sure.
My guests are here in the studio. You've been to Japan at all, Jeff?
Never. I do like the fish thing. What is this?
The dried fish?
No, what is he called?
Oh, the sushi key ring.
Yeah, I do like
that. Dale, you might have to get another sushi key ring, but orders are coming in now.
I do like the sushi, but I've never been there. I would love to go. I've seen the samurai, if that's of any use.
How about you, Frank? Have you been to Japan?
Yes, I've been once. Yes? On business with the university.
Where did you go to?
Kyoto.
Right.
And I can't even remember the name of the university in the Southern Island.
Interesting place to visit.
The bullet train. Very interesting. It always seemed to me that the economy was ahead of the infrastructure. The roads were not that great, and it's an economy that's developed very fast since the Second World War.
Dale, nice talking to you.
And to
you're not out. You're not going out painting the town tonight.
I'm not. I'm a good boy tonight. Actually, I popped out last night for a few sherries, and we ended up in the karaoke bar. which is next door to the hotel, staggering distance.
Karaoke? You can't imagine a karaoke bar in Japan.
No,
I don't know why, but...
And that's it. Home 4 days off, and then I'm off to Hong Kong on Sunday. So
oh, well, maybe we can...
From Hong Kong.
Maybe we can catch up with you from there. OK, then. Nice talking to you, Del.
Thanks for the time. Take care, Dean.
And you. Have a good week. That was our roving international reporter, Del Wilden, there, from ringing us from Japan. Narita, in Japan. So there you go. See? City Talk. It's all over the world, really. Well, it can be all over the world because, you know, if you're listening online... There you go. OK, we're talking frankly this hour. I've just got two guests today, because we don't know where Mr Maudsley is. He's still on his way. He'll probably turn up shortly. Joe Kenny, who's our honorary Frank this week, and Frank Sanderson. Big Brother has hit the TV screen. Did you watch it at all?
No. No chance.
I just thought to check, because, you know, I started this off with Dean's Dames on Friday, you know, and they said exactly the same as well. They said, no, wouldn't even dream of it. What about The Apprentice, then?
Apprentice, I thought, was brilliant, as usual. I think he's incredible personality, is our man. But, again, it lived up to all expectations, I thought, and it was great to watch.
What do you think makes that such a good programme?
Because you're dealing with real people, aren't you? You're dealing with, you know, you see them under pressure, and you see how they react, and the personality comes out.
And what about the guy who won the lying on his CV?
That was classic, wasn't it? Absolutely, caught with your hand in the tail. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. That was made up. He won in the end because one of the interviewers said he'd fiddled his own CV at times in the past. So we all do it. Let's be honest. But I mean, fancy getting caught out. What was it? 3 months he'd been there. Yeah. We knew for 4 years.
But also the mistakes he made with the spelling. I mean, he couldn't spell.
Well, the great thing about that is, for me, is that it shows you that, you know, you don't need a true blue university education to get on in this world. And, you know, good luck to him. I'm sure he's going to be successful in what he does and what he does in life. And, you know, fantastic television, I thought.
Great. OK, so what's catching your eye in the papers, in the news? What should we kick off with?
Well, something that's been annoying me since the days we got lighter, really. My wife opens the bedroom window. She's a teacher, gets up very early, off she goes. And we've been getting woken up about 4 o'clock in the morning by the dawn chorus, which drives your potty. Now, I've seen some magnificent sunrises since I've been getting woke up the last few weeks, and it drove me potty. And I saw this article, it was in the Cheshire Chronicle, and it's about birds learning the dawn chorus from CDs. Would you believe? Right. What it is baby birds are being cared for in RSPCA centres are being taught to sing using CD recordings of the dawn chorus. Absolutely. The study found it helps them become good singers, which in turn will help them survive when they are set free. Well, I can tell you they won't be surviving long outside that house of a morning. Dr. Andrew Kelly, director of Stapley Grange Wildlife Centre and Cattery, and what a guy who's a director of a cattery's doing, speaking on birds, I don't know, said the study showed most bird species benefited from playing birdsong. Female birds, it seems, in many species choose a partner based on the way they sing. Now, I checked today. I've done a couple of.
Is that dated April the 1st?
Is it? No, it's actually yesterday's dated, but it's 50th of June, so I've used it for today, because in this morning's papers, Learning Bird Songs. There's actually a website called learningbirdsongs.com, and it shows you how you can learn a bird song yourself. It tells you why do birds sing. Learning bird songs takes patience, perseverance, and persistence. Probably a couple of lines as well, I suspect.
Why would you want to learn a bird song?
Well, exactly, but I thought we'd come up with a few sort of songs which you know, related to birds, really. So we could have, for example, The Way We Were, which is Love Birds, of course, you know, Jumping Jack Door Flash, Bye Bye Blackbird,
we love it, yes,
Run Robin, Run Robin, Run, 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 Fly Me to the Moon by the Barn Owl, and Jailbird Rock, The Magpies, of course, and Coochie Coo, Me Coochie Coo, do you remember that one? Yeah, by Alvin. Yes. Pigeon Stardust.
Very good. You've done your own work there, haven't you?
Yeah, well, in terms of songs and people choosing partners by songs, I wonder whether Colleen chose Wayne because of his singing ability. Ah. Apparently, there was a story in the Mirror on Friday about him getting up and joining Westlife on stage and singing one of their songs, Swear It Again. And a source close to Westlife says that The performance was not planned in advance. The boys were stunned. They couldn't believe it. Wayne hadn't practised with them, but he must have practised somewhere. He was a brilliant singer. So Wayne Rooney, not only a great footballer, great singer.
Well,
and maybe that's
career,
what Colleen sees in him. That's why she's attracted to him,
maybe. Yes, it will be, yeah, but definitely be the way he sings.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Not to do with his bank balance.
Yeah.
They reckon about £5 million was spent on that wedding.
Good on him.
Yeah, which contrasts with the amount of money that was spent on Tommy Smith's wedding and Colin Harvey's wedding about 30-odd years ago. A report in the Echo last week from Greg O'Keefe talking about Tommy Smith having flying back from the States where they were on tour to having a wedding on at the church in the afternoon, then going to St. George's Hotel in town for a quick bite to eat, a reception and quick bite to eat with a few friends. A wedding dress costing £30, a specially commissioned wedding dress. £30 a week that Tommy Smith was getting at the time compared with the £100,000 that Wayne Rooney's getting. Quite a contrast. And similar story with Colin Harvey, who had his honeymoon in Rill.
Yeah, but that's like, I mean, it's like comparing footballers today with footballers from yesterday, isn't it? There's no comparison, really. None whatsoever. I mean, and in those days...
What are you talking about then in terms of playing ability?
Well, yes, yeah. Certainly. I mean, you know, people say, you know, Best was better than Ronaldo or, you know, these arguments go on forever. And, you know, a wedding in St. George's Hotel, I can tell you, when I was a kid at that age, and £30 a week is a lot of money. And sounds pretty glamorous from someone who's grew up in the 60s and 70s.
Well, our big issue today is that we ask, you know, through all the shows that run during the daytime schedule, is do footballers still deserve our devotion? That's what we're asking now.
If you love
the
game...
Did they ever deserve it? Did they ever deserve it?
Did they ever?
Oh, dear me. I'm a mad dress. Yes, they absolutely do, you know. I mean, I think...
Do you go to the match, though?
I don't go now. I did as a kid. Loved to go, you know. Sir Roger Hunt, Keegan, they were my heroes. And it was great. I mean, it's very difficult now for people. The cost is phenomenal for them to go. They're still great entertainers, aren't they? You know, look at Man United.
Well, that's what I said. I'd say, you know, my take on it was it can bring a lot of pleasure to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was watching the football last night. It was fantastic, wasn't it? You know, watching Turkey turn over the Czechs in the last 10 minutes. You know, absolutely. I mean, sometimes they're boring and dreary games, but they're like a woman. They always have the ability to turn you on and please, you know, as far as I'm concerned. So, yes, you know, the only, if I've got a question against them, really, is that the way they carry on, they are great examples to young people, and they should do a lot more than what they are doing. And when we see them in a mess, or like the young kids, but they are multimillionaires now, there is a responsibility off the pitch as well as on.
I mean, it's very difficult. I mean, you know, at that age, you know, late teenager, early 20s, with so much money, I mean, compared with the kind of money we had when we were the right age, and the kind of pressures that must bring, and the prima donna behaviour it sometimes leads to, and... it can kind of get the people can get things out of perspective, I think.
It can, but it's gone on for a long time, wasn't it? Look at George Best, you know, phenomenal player.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. When I went to Anfield and watched him for the first time, you couldn't take your eyes off that fella. You didn't watch anyone else on the pitch. And look, the tragedy what happened to him. And you know, with this kind of wealth and with this comes responsibility. Mm. And they don't teach them a great deal of responsibility. Look at poor old, you know.
Gazza,
you know. Yeah. I remember when he was, you know, the key pin of the England team, everyone, you know, going round him, supporting him, the hangers on, and looking at him today. And, you know, it's very sad and tragic. And yet, and the opposite of that, of course, you've got people like, you know, Owen, who is off the pitch, a very good example. You know,
Paul Scholes. Never hear of him. Yeah.
We're talking frankly on The Sullivan Show, City Talk 105.9.
Phil and Kim at breakfast with Lucas Vauxhall.
What a very exciting day for you, Sally. All this coming to fruition.
I know, I'm very emotional about it, I have to say. All my babies have come out onto the street.
And they look, Sally, they look brilliant. They gave me a real big smile when I came into work this morning, saw a couple on Lime Street and by St George's Hall. Have you got a favourite? Is that unfair question?
I've got 119th favourite.
Oh, very diplomatic, Sally Ann.
I like top banana.
This could not have happened in any other city in the world. I mean, Liverpool has a embrace this project with such generosity, good fun. It just couldn't have happened.
Phil Easton.
Kim Hughes.
Phil and Kim at breakfast.
City Talk. 105.9.
A swift story. Mary's Jodie's nan. Mary lives in Speke. Jodie lives in Newcastle. Jodie loves football. Mary loves the internet. Today is Jodie's birthday. Yesterday, Mary bought a footy kit online. Today, thanks to Swift Dispatch and to her mum's horror, Jodie's wearing it to a party.
For next day deliveries, Swift Dispatch is affordable, reliable and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on.
From Thursday the 19th to Sunday the 22nd of June, the biggest, most exciting design event the Northwest has ever seen hits the capital of culture. Whether you're a funky fashionista, design-conscious homeowner, or a downright culture vulture, Design Show Liverpool brings you the very best in contemporary and independent design. Held at the new Contemporary Urban Centre, Design Show Liverpool will showcase the hottest trends and give you the chance to buy beautiful and unique furniture, fashion, jewellery, lighting and interiors. With regular catwalk shows and exciting live events over 4 days, Design Show Liverpool is the showcase for style. Buy tickets at designshowliverpool.com or visit the 08 Place, Whitechapel, Liverpool City Centre.
I had weight loss surgery and I lost nearly 8 stone in 15 months. It's changed my life completely. I'm happier and more confident. I now do things that I would never have done before. I can truly say that I am more comfortable in my own skin than I have ever been.
If you're more than 5 stone overweight and considering weight loss surgery, call Gravitas at Murrayfield Hospital for a free confidential consultation or check out the Gravitas weight loss website. Gravitas, changing people's lives. Call 08452 515 515.
City Talk Tower Tours are running again, giving you the chance to see the ever-changing signature skyline of Liverpool from 450 feet above the city centre. Take in the breathtaking panoramic views of the Wirral, Lancashire, the Welsh Hills and beyond, and go behind the scenes of our state-of-the-art studios. There are tours every weekend, as well as twilight tours on Tuesday and Thursday evenings. Book now on 0151 472 6800 or log on to citytalk.fm/tower tour.
Sunday, July 6th is Northwest Disability Awareness Day with City Talk 105.9 and Warrington Disability Partnership, taking place at Wharton Hall Gardens just off the A56. You can find out more details by logging on to citytalk.fm. Warrington Disability Awareness Day, Sunday, July 6th with City Talk 105.9.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Talking Frankly with Dean Sullivan.
City Talk 105.9.
Yes, it's just gone 25 past 2. That sweeper ends rather suddenly, doesn't it, Vino? You'll have to get that sorted. He's not even listening, look. Anyway, we're talking frankly in this hour of the show, as we do every Monday, joined by our second Frank, our regular, Mr. Moresby. How are we?
Late.
Well, never mind. Better late than proverbial. Never. Yeah. How are we all getting on with the petrol?
Yeah, okay.
Rationing or...
Well, it was already...
I'm on my bike, so...
It was when he said, wasn't it, you know, yeah. There's a panic. Don't panic. As soon as someone says to me, don't panic, what are we going to do?
Typical, isn't it, yeah.
So as we said before, a fuel and his money soon passes.
Fuel and his money. Well done, yes. We've been waiting for you to come in.
Thank you, darling. Have you been anyway?
Very well, very
just
well indeed.
I've been out of bed 15 minutes.
It's really? Tremendous.
Yeah, I went out with her last night. She took me to Flair's. I'm a dancing queen. 3 o'clock this morning, dancing queen. I've got a terrible hangover. Yeah, what are you? Come on, let's
finish. Showbiz, aren't you? Why you need the hair of the dog?
I wish I had some
here. We were talking about Japan there, but our international roving reporter was calling us.
Well, I was listening
Japan.
On the way down.
To death, yeah?
I have been to Japan, and it is a fantastic place.
You played with the band out there?
I played pachinko. You haven't been to Japan if you haven't played pachinko. Like years ago, when you used to go to the slot machines, and like old-fashioned wind-uppy ones, and you press a little button, and all these ball bearings, you've got to fire them into a little hole, and you can sit there for hours. But I used to get a bit of paper and stick it in, and it go ding, 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 and all go fine in the hole, and you get all these ball bearings, and you take the counter, they put it in the machine and count it, and they give you the ticket. I don't know what the ticket was for, I had loads of them. And one of the roadies said, I'll take it. I went to a little kiosk, and I got thousands of CDs. Little tiny cities. But it's a brilliant place. I went to Irikuchu and we played at the Budokan where the sumo wrestlers play. You've been there, haven't you?
Well, I'd like to go there because I'd be a big star over there.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be the sexiest man in there.
But though we'd be like 6 foot tall, it is, everything is small. Mm. Even like the 1982 it was. And I couldn't believe it, like, no, the doors. You walk towards the door and you go to grab the alley, whoosh, Like Blade Runner. It is like Blade Runner. Yeah. Everything's all signs everywhere. Fantastic place.
And don't they have those hotels out there which are just like little boxes that people get into?
You go in this corridor, it's all like pods, you lie in it. But you can't have anything untoward going on down there. You can't have smelly feet, apparently.
Really?
Oh, you can come in.
Sounds like that. I've got five kids. Can't get in anyway.
Anyway, we're talking about what's catching our eye in the papers. Frank Sanderson?
Just something that's irritated me recently is this bus lanes, more and more bus lanes in Liverpool, and a headline at the end of last week saying cameras to catch out bus lane motorists. So motorists who drive in Liverpool's bus lanes will face £60 fines when cameras are installed later this summer to catch drivers breaking the law.
It's just
very difficult in the town centre, though. It's difficult. I find it difficult to get from Ranelagh Street to St George's Hall, let's say. You can't drive straight along Slime Street, or getting from Byrom Street to Mount Pleasant. You've got to know the city well in order to find your way around. But you can easily get into a situation where you've got a bus lane or nothing, really. Difficult.
Is there another way of making money for the council?
Well, the council deny that.
Well, they would.
But coming here just now, we had to come from Scotland Road, past St George's Hall by the tunnelway, and break the law and go in the bus lane, past the hotel, in the front of the precinct, past Lamsey Station, and where you can't do a U-turn, you've got to do a U-turn. These laws are there for us to break, so we get fines to keep the good old economy going. Because otherwise, we would have had to drive right up Redshaw Street, find somewhere to turn and come back down to park underneath the precinct.
Well, what the city
How do you get to it?
Well, what the city council says, it's trying to keep good traffic flow around the city with a balance between public and private transport. It sounds good, but really, it's even for people who know the city, it's quite difficult.
Car lanes. Let's go for car lanes.
Let's
have a few car lanes.
Car lane another screen.
Yes, extend the car lane another screen right away down.
It's like Jeremy Clarkson. I was watching Top Gear, some old rerun on Dave TV, and he said when the congestion charges came into London, he lives about 25 feet inside the congestion charge. It cost him a fiver to go home.
Do you think we're going to get a congestion charge in Liverpool eventually?
Yeah, I think so, yes. Manchester now said they're signalling they're going to have one, and that in about 5 years' time. So it seems the way things are going. Yeah.
Is that true? You do ride a bike, then, Joe?
I do. My wife has a car. Actually,
you're taking a Mickey.
Joe offered that up.
Size of him.
You can
get on a bike.
Thanks very much. You know, for one insult, I can stay at home. My wife's a teacher. She teaches in Southport, so she takes the bike in. Sorry, takes the bike in. She takes the car in. I either jump the bus if the weather's bad, or I do actually bring the bike in. Having said that, I did lose a very good bike last year, but that may well be to do with more the fact that, you know, I chained it up under a scaffolding pole instead, and thinking it was a street pole, you know, which is fixed, and of course they just came along, lifted the bit of scaffolding with
the chain. So you're driving, are you?
He went, well, drink walking. That's the one bricks.
What's catching your eye in the paper?
Well, the Mail's got this great story, I think, and it's about this guy's been in the press last few weeks.
Just sitting next to him is funny.
The speaker Martin, right now. What's happened is there was the Troop of the Colour. I don't know if you saw the Troop of the
Colour. Stay on mic, please, Joe.
The Troop of the Colour was fantastic, and of course, whenever they have the Troop of the Colour, they give these awards out, and there's an MBE has been given to Speaker Michael Martin's cleaner. Now, this is what it says.
My brother's elbow.
It says, the Speaker's office originally claimed that Mrs. Martin was accompanied on a taxi by an official. This is over a £4,500 taxpayer-funded taxi bill. And it turned out the official happened to be this cleaner. A lovely woman, does a great job. Mrs. Hawkes.
Do you know her?
Now, Mrs. Hawkes is 64. She's the Speaker's housekeeper and cleaner, as well as the cleaner for the Sergeant-at-Arms Department. In Parliament. It was the latter department which apparently put her forward for the award. MBEs are normally handed out to people who are given significant services to the community, it says, and the citation alongside Mrs. Hawke's award is glowing, referring to the unsung importance of her duties. She is described as a trusted key holder, making her vitally important in terms of that lovely word we're all using lately, security. So it's a great story. The testimony adds that her sheer loyalty is second to none in a job which the demands are occasionally unpleasant.
Can we get to the point here? Come on.
Well, does she clean the speaker's seat? We don't know.
She cleans the speaker's seat.
You got an
MBE?
We don't know.
My broken elbow.
I'm not actually sure that we should be giving them MBEs to a cleaner who we don't know a great deal about. But I am in favour of giving awards to people like cleaners and labourers and whatever. And in fact, I actually think the Lord Mayoralty should be given to somebody like a cleaner or a community worker, whatever it is in the city. We have often had mayors who, quite frankly, quite honestly...
Frankly?
Yeah, very good, got it in. Don't deserve it. I've done very, very little, but they ponce around the city with all the paraphernalia that it goes with the gold chain on, and they get away with it. I think it should be given to an up-and-coming citizen who's done a great deal for the city, whether it's a cleaner or whether it's a community worker, whatever it is, a labourer, a bricklayer or anybody else, they should be given it as much as anybody else and probably deserve it more so than
Tommy Gallagher, the incumbents we've had. Tommy Gallagher, the mugman.
Joe, just in, just on behalf of the Lord Mayors, each Lord Mayor does have a charity or a number of charities.
Yes, they do.
So they do raise money for charity. Yeah. That's one thing that they all, have in common.
Well,
if we had the Lord Mayor, we've got the Lord Mayor coming in for my In Conversation With.
Good.
It's either this week or next week. And that's where we have just an hour's conversation with a special guest. And so it's going to be the present Lord Mayor is coming in on Thursday. If you had the Lord Mayor sat in front of you, what question would you ask him? Or her?
Should we have an elected Lord Mayor that's got executive powers, a real leader in the city, like, say, they have in London?
Do you think there's a need for one?
There's an argument for one, yes. But the problem is getting the right person. It could go horribly wrong if you don't get the right leadership.
And then you're stuck on for a number of years.
Yeah.
Joe, what would you ask?
Well, I'd ask, what did you do to deserve it, to be quite honestly?
And
what are you doing walking in a news bar with our 200-year-old gold chain after you inaugurated the other week? So I'd ask him those things. I remember the 80s when we didn't have a Lord Mayor. It was taken off us, if you remember, and we had a chairman of the council. And I think a lot of the kids, when the fates were opened, and were very disappointed when this guy should have had a big tricorn hat and all the kit on, didn't turn up in a suit. It wasn't quite the same. I think the Lord Mayor can do a great job for the city, but he has no powers. It's a bit like the Queen in that sense. And should there be an elected mayor? I've always argued that there should be an elected mayor, but I would like to keep the mayor, the Lord Mayor, because I do think there's a key role for him. It was great to see the city the other Saturday when everyone was on the streets and all the parade. And as you say as well, Dean, they raise a great deal of money for charities, and some of the charities are very unknown. So it can bring that into light. But again, I've always been concerned that, you have to be elected to be a politician before you're Lord Mayor. Don't agree with that at all.
Maudsley, you got a question for the Lord Mayor?
Well, a few Lord Mayors are mates of mine, and I've been out for a pint with them, and I'm stuck for words. You can see why else from here, can't you? Yes. No, a few Lord Mayors have been mates. I mean, I'd hate to be Lord Mayor. Everyone, hey, Mayor, you call me a Mayor. Have I been called Mayor?
There's a great story, of a Mayor, and it's true. I can't get rid of his name, for obvious reasons. And he went off to a banquet up in Sefton, and all the other Mayors were there. Now, I don't know whether you know this or not, but only Liverpool...
All the other Mayors? cows
and their wives. I don't know if you know this, but only Liverpool in the area is called a Lord Mayor. All the others are Mayors. And he was at this function. he was at the function, and he said, before he went in, he said to his chauffeur, he said, look, give me...
Don't call me a Mayor.
Give me 15 minutes, come in and say, look, we've got to get off somewhere, because you get bored with these kind of things often. So he goes in, and the chauffeur comes in and says, your Lord Mayor, we're late for the next function. Oh, don't worry, he says. Hang on a minute, keeps chatting for 5 minutes. And then he says, right, I've got to go. He gets off. They get off up the road to a local pub. I won't say what it is. Might have been the Scarisbrick, but I'm not sure. And they get absolutely... Well, the Lord Mayor gets absolutely... Sorry, the chauffeur gets waylaid, walks in, bumps into a few of his friends. He gets absolutely smashed off his head, and the Lord Mayor has to drive the limo with the chauffeur in the back seat all the way back to the town hall. Absolutely true. And sadly, the chauffeur's a great guy. He's passed on now, but it's an absolutely true story.
Excellent. So what's catching your eye
story I saw in the Mirror, again, late last week. I think it was Saturday. The old joke about the first question in the pub quiz, who are you looking at? Well, there's a story about an Asbo. For an Asbo man is banned from village over evil stare. A man was banned from his home village for giving neighbours ugly stares. And it just seems to turn that old joke on its head. You know, the who are you looking at? They're the innocent victims here. And an Asbo for a man for staring. What next?
Bizarre.
They're getting so politically friendly, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You can't really do anything now, can you? You can't. I meet the mayor, and I'm trying to call him mayor.
And this is a... This
you
is
have
a,
to call him Lord Mayor. Proper title.
Or, in your case, mate.
All right, lad.
All right, lad. Where's that 20 quid you're on? Anyway, this is an Italian story. I think it's a brilliant story. It's on the international press. And it's a guy called Gabriele Paolini. Now, he faces a prison sentence by the judge unless he behaves himself, he's being told. Now, what's he been up to? Well, it turns out he has made a career out of popping up uninvited behind unwitting on-air TV reporters. Let's hope he's not about round the studio today. Promoting condom use. Now, the Guinness World Record says Mr. Paolini is the world's most successful TV hijacker, interrupting 20,000 link-ups. This guy's been going around, right? Shouting, use a condom! Free, safe, not free, but safe sex. Please use a condom.
It's a good job Blue Peter's finished it.
some of the presenters haven't took it quite as humorous as we have in here, and they've got a bit shitty with them. Actually, he's ended up in fights rolling around the studio floor. So the courts have said they've ruled that anyone who deliberately, including this guy, gets onto a TV station. Now we have to ask, where's the security here with this fella?
Who the condoms?
While standing in a public place can commit an offence, even if they are silent and immobile. Can you believe that, right? Well, there's a great picture of this condom factory of a woman dressed in a white cap and overall, and she's testing condoms. Noms with. What they do is they put them over what looks like a milking machine and they fill them with jelly until they burst. And that's how they test them now. I think this guy's great. He's been known as the I can't even say the word, prophylactic.
Is it clock on when they go in? Is it all presents and the rest?
Well, he does. There is a serious side to it, of course. And what he's trying to do is trying to draw attention to the plight of AIDS sufferers, is what he's trying to do. So there's actually a serious side. But he says reporters have been known to lash out at him in frustration sometimes.
We're talking, frankly, on the Sullivan Show of City Talk 105.9.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
DinoSecure can help you beat the burglar.
Because DinoSecure can supply and fit intruder alarm systems, access control and CCTV.
Professionally installed, fully guaranteed and with a 24-hour customer care line, DinoSecure are dedicated to providing safety and peace of mind for any home.
Call today on 0800 121 999 or visit dino.com and we'll give you and your property a free security check and advice.
Nothing beats beating a burglar. So call DinoSecure today.
Dine somewhere different. Dine at Jallands Bridewell Campbell Square. Once a 19th century police station, this elegant and unique restaurant just has to be experienced. And Monday to Friday between 12 and 3, you can now enjoy our delicious lunch menu. Dishes start from just $2.95. So for hearty food, fine wine and live music from the Boston Piano, book your table or sell at Jallands Bridewell, Campbell Square, Argyle Street, Liverpool. Call 709-4195.
City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Just to know that people stand by what British soldiers do and that people start realising that we don't want to be there neither. But at the end of the day, we put that uniform on to save our country and save the people of our country, and that's just part of the job.
People getting crushed against the gates and they're closing the gates and police are fighting them with batons and everything, trying to get them back.
Kids getting I just carry kids over barriers and everything to try and keep them safe when the police are just telling us to get back.
Our experience with Heysel, Hillsborough, numerous incidents at sports events, something like this could still be allowed to happen. The lack of planning, the lack of care for the safety of fans.
I am a revolutionary and do believe if there were to be democracy, it should be direct democracy, not representative democracy, and that we shouldn't have a head of state. But I do love the Queen. She said to me, you know what, a fella once broke into my bedroom. If you keep your wits about you, there is a way in. I said, ma'am, I'll be right over.
News on the hour, every hour. City Talk.
City Talk.
Words of wisdom.
Always forgive your enemies. Nothing will annoy them more.
City Talk. 105.9.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Talking frankly with Dean Sullivan.
City Talk.
105.9.
Yes, you're with me, Dean Sullivan, on The Sullivan Show. We're talking, frankly, well, we were laughing, frankly, actually. I've had a call from Carol. Hi, Carol. She's doing the ironing at the moment. Said she's laughing her head off. Really enjoying it, so. Hi to Carol.
Nice. Tell her not to answer the phone.
Frank, what's catching your eye?
Liverpool Echo, headline, Liverpool One Boss Blasts Litter Blight. So that's Rod Holmes, Grosvenor boss, who's now chairman of Mersey Partnership. Complaining about the filth that is blighting parts of the city, saying it could undermine the success of the retail centre. Concerned about how the city looks on a Saturday afternoon.
Busy, you mean?
Well, it's busy, but it's full of litter.
He's got a cheek, hasn't he?
So, you know, there's always been a... I don't go into Liverpool on a Saturday afternoon. Far too busy.
Too much litter, I can't get it.
I do hear that there's a lot of litter. And it seems, I mean, I used to hear stories about Liverpool people dropping litter because they didn't want to not drop it because it would be doing people out of a job. People who collected it wouldn't have a job to do if they didn't drop it. Now, I don't know whether that's the case or whether we don't collect enough.
There's a lot in that, isn't there?
People are complaining about bin bags and overflowing bins and things. So it's maybe partly a problem of collection as well as people dropping litter. But I think perhaps...
Somebody was telling us, one of the girls who was in on Friday, said that she'd gone into the Liverpool one. The new complex down there, and said she couldn't find a litter bin.
Well, I must admit, when I smoke cigarettes tonight, as soon as I get out this building, on that ground floor, I'm going to light a ciggy. Now, I'm walking around the city centre looking for an ash tree.
You know what, it's interesting. Bizarre, that, you know, 10 years ago, the city council, and this is a true story, the city council removed the bins from the city centre. They were renewing them. And the fact of the matter was, there was less litter because of it, the more. Because what happens, people like me, I never drop litter, took it all. Instead of, they were looking for the bin, there wasn't one. Because what used to happen is the bins used to overflow.
Yeah.
And that still is the case today. The bins absolutely overflow. I think our bin men do a great job. I think Roddy Orr's got a cheek, considering for the last 4 years he's done nothing but make a mess of our city centre with his building work that's gone on. You haven't been able to go down the street. You've had sand and cement. You have building workers walking around showing the bums and throwing fag ends all over the place.
Can you imagine
and
living
from Manchester or Poland, by the way? None of them's got a Scouse accent, except the police officer coming up to tell them to, you know, behave themselves. So I think he's got an absolutely cheek, Rod Holmes, and he should have kept his mouth quiet on this one and gone and spoke to somebody discreetly at the town hall, the council, and got it resolved if he had such a beef. Not blasted all over the place for his own ends. What he's really doing is advertising the fact he's now the chair of the North West, what is it, the Merseyside Partnership. That's what it really is about Rodney Holmes.
But it's not mentioned here about the
partnership
at all. He wasn't actually complaining. He wasn't complaining about lack of bins. He was complaining about litter. You know,
apparently there's going to be 35 new bins placed into the area as a result of...
Well, when are we going to get a credit for not dropping litter? I don't drop litter. My kids don't drop litter.
Yeah.
Many of my friends don't drop litter. They're appalled when they see it.
A lot of people do.
Yes, but why don't we say thank you to those people?
Well, you know, there's not ways in driving up the road. I've seen this. You vouch for this. We're driving the road and a Lucozade bottle comes flying out of a window.
Yeah.
And a tissue paper. And it's absolutely bizarre. Absolutely.
I was with a group a few weeks ago, and we came down, we volunteers, I won't say who it is, because we volunteers, we came down around Slater Street, it was on a Sunday morning, and we cleaned the place up, picked up all kinds of weird and wonderful things in the process of doing it, and there is problems with the mess. But also, I can tell you, I've seen the other side, where our street cleaners do an absolutely fantastic job. It was really bad at one time. You couldn't walk down on a Saturday or Sunday morning down Church Street. You were knee-deep in litter. Now they have it cleaned up, it's done and dusted and put away an awful lot of it overnight. He may be talking about during the day. Maybe he should donate some of some more bins for us to put our litter in.
Well said. Catching your eye?
Oh, here's a cracker, yeah. UK hacker's case goes before the law.
He's a funny guy, isn't he? Like Joe Pesci, he's good for us. He's a funny guy.
This is a guy called Gary McKinnon, right? Minding his own business, right? And he becomes the world's greatest hacker. He's Glasgow-born, he's a systems analyst, and he's accused of gaining access to 97 US military and NASA computers from his North London home. Now, I think the fella's a genius, but what's happened is the government want to extradite him to the United States. States, where he's facing a 45-year prison sentence, and he may not even be allowed to take part in the UK. Two High Court judges said they could not find no grounds for an appeal, and it's going before the Law Lords, who will examine alleged threats to US authorities, including one by New Jersey prosecutor Mr. McKinnon says he would fry him. Right, he has never denied accessing the computer networks between 2001 and 2002. Mr. McKinnon has always maintained he was motivated by curiosity and only managed to get into the network because of a lack of, that word, security. Now, I think he's right.
I think
this fella should be... In fact, I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
They should make him MBA.
I'll tell you what's going to happen here. Right? They're going to prosecute him, make a big song and dance about it in America, and then they're going to give him a big job. Security job. Like they're saying, hack into our systems for us, fella. You'll save us millions. That's what's going to happen. And deservedly...
Hack into others.
And deservedly... It's like the guy became a head of the bank in America, didn't he? And the head of their security said, look, I'll walk into one of your banks and I'll get $10,000 out without even having a check on a bank account. He said, go on then. He said, well, if I do it, can I advise on security? He said, yeah. Pulls up in a big Rolls Royce, gets out in a dinner suit, half drunk, walks into the bank, pulls out his napkin, says, look, I haven't got my check, to the teller. He said, can I write it on this? She says, yeah. He writes out for $10,000 cash, signs it, passes it over. She gives him $10,000. He walks out, he gets the job.
So, and Leonardo DiCaprio, that film on it, when he conned the airlines.
The one, yeah.
That's him.
Well, this is my hero of the week. Gary McKinnon is going to be the head of security of the US.
MBA, Lord Mayor, Litter Collector.
Now, talking about America.
John Exeston.
Thank you, yes. Come back to the chair. Talking about America there, Clinton now has pulled out of the race.
I beg your pardon.
Out of the race for the White House.
Yes.
What do you think's going to happen? What do you think's going to happen over there?
Well, it's already been an historic, fantastic election season. I was over there for the last general election. I was working with the Democrats for John Kerry, and it was very sad to see Bush get another 4 years. But what's going to happen at this point? You've got, you know, for the first time, a black Democratic candidate running for president here, and you've also got a Vietnam War veteran in John McCain. It's going to be a fantastic, exciting election, in my view. I think Barack Obama's going to win it, and I think there's good reasons for that. He's new. He does sound... He's very, very moving when you hear him speak. He makes the hairs in the back of head stand up. And, you know, so I think that's what's going to happen.
Frank, about the elections?
Yeah, well, I think Obama will win. Mm. I don't think he'll have Hillary as his running mate. But it's an exciting time in American politics. He's like the new John Kennedy. I think I'm positive and optimistic about America under his leadership. Let's hope he wins.
Mr. Maudsley?
His name kind of confuses me.
Why?
You know, how can Osama bin Laden run for, like, you know, anything like this? You know what I mean? And I think what America really does need, I think this country needs it. We need a black governor, someone to give us the other side of the coin. Like Martin Luther King, or kind of that, kill him. Anyone with any ethnic minority, you should be there. We should put these people in place to give us that real jurisdiction over politics, to put the foot down and be normal and be a democracy. How can we have a democracy when no one's ever really tried it? Like communism, we haven't tried it. How can we complain about it?
Well, look, in this country, we've got a prime minister who hasn't...
We had Maggie Thatcher. Anything can go after that, can't
it? But we've got a prime minister who hasn't been elected by anybody outside his own Labour group. Mm. Hasn't been tested, and the way this man's been tested for the last 6 months, in the fire of, you know, he's had to do these...
I thought Gordon Brown was a strangler's song.
You know, history's already been made. The big question, no one said today, but it's been mentioned in the past, Hillary Clinton, I agree, isn't going to be on the ticket. But if he does become President of the United States, his security team have told his wife they cannot give him 100% protection. Colin Powell, the reason Colin Powell, the Secretary of State, wouldn't stand for president, and there was a big...
Colin?
No, yeah, well, they call him Colin, we call him Colin.
Let's call
You know, he met with his wife, the Security Secret Service said, again, we cannot protect it, and she said it isn't worth the risk, and she wouldn't allow him to stand, and he made that decision not to stand for president, for the Republican ticket.
Do you think Condoleezza Rice will
No.
Take on that sort of advice as well?
Has she paid her bill
yet? Well, her name's been thrown into the hat, you know.
Well, it's over now.
No, I mean, next time round.
No, she's already decided she's going to go back to academia life, like this young man here. Go back to university and produce reports. Produce reports, you know. So that's not going to happen. But it is going to be very, very exciting, very, very interesting.
We're talking,
and great for this country.
We're talking, frankly, this hour with my guests here in the studio, Frank Sanderson from John Moores University. And Frank Morsley and Joe Kenny, who is a community political activist.
You're a political activist?
Well, I was a politician. Comedy, politician, same thing.
He's a funny guy.
There's a few funny guys in the town. Oh,
let me do that.
Joe.
All right, great. I love this one. This is the 41st World Custard Pie Throwing Championships, which was recently held in Kent.
A politician talking.
This is brilliant. I love this. It was all done for charity. They were done with out-of-date pies, it says, and the main scores, the best scores, were reserved for headshots.
Can you get Samolina poison with out-of-date pies?
Now, the idea for the charity event came from a Charlie Chaplin comedy. I don't believe that. I think it was by a local councillor. I think he was watching the local council meeting and realised it is a Charlie Chaplin comedy. Let's have a custard pie throw competition, right? He now calls it, and this is, year of our capital of culture, he says it's a great cultural event for Maidstone. Well, let's have one ourselves, I say. Let's have one. And talk about Japan. Japan's interested. China, USA have been mentioned. The TV crews have been over. I think it's wonderful. The guy who's designed the pies, he says they're not, in fact, custard, but are made to a secret recipe. And his name's Richard Hearn, and he's considered the contestant's Mr. Pastry. Do you remember him when you were a kid, Mr. Pastry? The National Skipping Championships and Kent Welly Throwing Championships also ran alongside the pie event last Saturday. Now, I think we should have one in Liverpool. I think we should go to Williamson Square here. We should ask the politicians to set a team of four up. You can imagine Warren Bradley would all queue up to throw a custard pie at him, wouldn't we?
But he does tell extremely good stories, doesn't he?
The money you'd make for charity would be fantastic. We could have a press team, people from the press coming down, Dean here, leading the team. We could have, we could have members of the public set up teams. We could raise a fortune, have a laugh, and stick a custard pie on a politician.
The phantom flag.
Does his life get better?
Brilliant.
Excellent. Right, Frank.
Well, I mean, it's difficult to follow that, isn't it?
You could have a vomit-throwing competition.
Well, let's get back to a good news story for Liverpool. Last week, we had the docking of the Grand Princess, the biggest cruise liner ever to visit the Mersey, in the new cruise terminal at 6:30 last Thursday, I think it was. And they're going to be disgorging on each visit about 4,000 people who are going to spend a lot of money in Liverpool. In the course of a year, they're expecting something like 20,000 cruise passengers in Liverpool spending £1.5 million. So that's good news for the city.
Oh. Well, it looked like a ship thing. My sister went to visit the Ark Royal when it was docked here last week, and it was all like the big press the day before it arrived. A lot of Liverpool people on, doing a great job and all that. She queued for 2.5 hours to walk up a gangplank, walk about 5 minutes along the side of the ship, looked at the window, and was told to leave there. She queued for 2.5 hours.
I was worried about signing on and the ship taking off myself. What would it be?
2.5 hours to walk up a gangplank, walk on the side of the ship and then disembark.
I've got to say, I did get excited over the cruise ship last week. And my neighbour did, because he was in a taxi time. I went down and said, Joe, there's this cruise liner. Oh, great, love to see that. It's massive. And my son was with me. My son is an environmental biologist, marine biologist down in Southampton. And I said to him, Joe, let's go and see this big cruise ship. He said, Dad, I work in Southampton. I've seen them. We're getting excited, I mean, you remember the Mersey when he had more ships than, you could count, it was fantastic, But, and here we are getting excited over one liner coming back. Great that is, but it just shows you the way the world's changed in Liverpool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice to see the Royal Irish, wouldn't it?
Whatever happened to them, where is it now?
Probably the Aegean Sea.
Let's ask Neil Scales. Get Neil Scales in, the chief exec of Mersey Travel, and say, where is our Royal Irish? By the way, and don't forget, the Royal Irish fought in the war. Went down here, it was the First World War, it actually went over to Zeebrugge. So it's actually a war veteran, the Royal Irish. We should have it back. How many children have been born after a night out on the Royal Irish?
What a city in the world would give such things away?
Only this one.
Only this one.
Yeah,
Cavan, let's knock that down.
We're the only city, you're talking about that. We're the only city that turned the Beatles school, changed its name, worldwide known, the Quarry Bank, the Quarry Men. We're now Colderstones Community School.
Imagine. I was in
Nevada in the middle of a desert, right? And there was the only restaurant you have something to eat was a Beatles restaurant. They played Beatles music all night long, Beatles everywhere. I got the meal for free because I grew up in Penny Lane, came from Quarry Bank School, and they said they couldn't believe that they changed the name of the school. How crazy is that?
I thought they knocked Quarry Bank down.
No, Quarry Bank's still there.
I went to the Beatles Yard Days Night Hotel last night, and I've mentioned this before, haven't I? It's just Beatles music with a few pictures. They should have a newspaper taxi in the reception and make more of the theme, like Planet Hollywood, Rock Hard Rock Cafe. What have we got? We've got a picture at the end of the bar that looks like the Bee Gees. And I can hear, and in the distance, I can hear. That's it. And the waitress comes and goes, what do you want?
You're talking about Rose Lane Wing, actually. That was, it's now a Tesco.
Ah, right, there you go. That's what I was thinking. There you go,
City.
Folks. We've been talking frankly on the middle hour of today's show. Coming up next is all your news and sport. Then we get out of the out of the studio and into the City Cafe, catching up on all the entertainment news. You've been listening to The Sullivan Show here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool, broadcasting across Liverpool, Merseyside and the great North West.
Paul Jacobs.
There's always going to be people that are going to be struggling financially for whatever reason.
Ah, but there are the people who maybe haven't checked their bank statements, will try and buy something and realise they've been knocked back for credit or they can't afford it. Maybe they haven't realised the situation in the country and therefore themselves as individuals are in at the moment.
You are right there, because we're certainly noticing with loans, with mortgages, if you want to get credit or finance from somewhere, whereas if you go back 2 years, people would have been throwing money at you. You know, you remember we saw these silly mortgages at five times your salary?
Yep.
That's changed completely now, because there's no liquidity within the banks. There's not a lot of money in the pot to borrow or to lend to people.
Paul Jacobs.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
City Talk 105.9.
What is the Merseyside and West Lancs Lifelong Learning Network? And what can it do for you?
It can help you gain the qualifications you need to get the job you want. It can help you get into full or part-time learning. It can help you onto a degree course. It can help you gain the skills that could change your life.
It's amazing what the Lifelong Learning Network can do for you. But don't take our word for it. Be amazed. Call them today on 0800 195 5063.
Delicious, mouth-watering, scrumptious, piping hot, healthy Chinese and Thai food. Eat as much as you like for under 6 quid. And talking of squid, do you just love it pan-fried with lashings of salt and chilli?
Mm-hmm. Buffet Star. 60 delicious Thai and Chinese dishes to choose from for less than 6 quid. Buffet Star, Hanover Street, Liverpool, just round the corner from Central Station.
Across Merseyside.
On 105.9 FM.
And DAB. Digital Radio.
This is City Talk.
This hour, tragedy of protester dad.
City Talk.
News.
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm Steve Hothersall. It's been confirmed a Cheshire dad found dead with his two children in North Wales was a member of Fathers for Justice. They were discovered inside a Land Rover following a day out in Snowdonia on Father's Day. The Runcorn man and his son and daughter were all reported missing by the children's mum, who raised the alarm when they didn't come home. We're also told police evacuated a house in Runcorn amid reports it had been wired up to a bomb. Emma Murphy reports from outside the family home with the latest.
Their mother called the police late on Saturday night when she became concerned that they hadn't yet returned home. It was after that that a passerby in the Snowdonia National Park discovered the bodies of the two children and their father in a parked Land Rover.
Elsewhere, flowers have been laid at the scene of a gangland shooting carried out within sight of a Liverpool police station. The attack happened in the early hours of yesterday morning. 32-year-old David Garrity was shot once in the chest as he tried to cycle away from a gunman driving a white Volvo. Our reporter Liam Blythe is at the scene in Kirkdale.
Well, two contrasting images now mark the scene of the crime. On the floor, a trail of blood, and next to it, dozens of flowers and tributes to David Garrity, who was shot in this alleyway as he tried to escape from his killer. One of the most poignant of which reads, "My heart is broke in a million pieces and it will never mend. I haven't just lost an uncle, but also a special friend." The investigation continues, with detectives now hoping CCTV footage from the area may lead them to that vital breakthrough.
The families of three Merseyside soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan have demanded a meeting with the Armed Forces Minister. Alan Squires, Stephen Swarbrick and John Langton died alongside 11 other servicemen when their Nimrod plane exploded in 2006. It was caused by a fuel leak. The families are now demanding talks about grounding the entire aircraft fleet. Meanwhile, more British troops are being sent to fight the Taliban in Afghanistan. Gordon Brown made the announcement during a news conference with President Bush earlier. Exact numbers will be revealed in the next half hour. It comes as the latest soldiers to be killed in Helmand province have been flown home. The Prime Minister insists all five haven't died in vain.
It is in the British national interest to confront the Taliban in Afghanistan, or Afghanistan would come to us. And so today Britain will announce additional troops for Afghanistan, bringing our numbers in Afghanistan to the highest level.
Striking tanker drivers are due back to work tomorrow morning. Talks are taking place to resolve the bitter dispute as employees threaten another walkout next week. The strike is hitting some areas of the UK more than others, with most stations on Merseyside still stocked with fuel. EU foreign ministers are meeting in Luxembourg to come up with a response to the Irish no vote on the Lisbon Treaty. It can't be implemented unless it's approved by all 27 EU states. Only the Irish Republic has held a referendum, which it rejected last Friday. It's leading to another crisis of confidence for the European Union. A court has heard the man accused of murdering Jill Dando was seen outside the TV presenter's house hours before she was killed. A witness says she was sure she spotted Barry George acting suspiciously in West London, even though she only saw his face for 5 seconds. The 48-year-old denies murder in 1999. Sharon Osbourne has given her backing to her successor on The X Factor. The talent show judge sensationally quit the TV series last week. Girls Aloud star Cheryl Cole is to take her seat on the panel next to Simon Cowell, Danny Minogue and Louis Walsh. While speaking exclusively to Pete Price, Sharon says the producers have got it spot on.
They couldn't have filled that spot with anyone better than Cheryl. And I'm saying, and with all of that going for her, she's a really good girl too. She's a fabulous young woman.
And the first Merseyside derby of next season will be at the end of September. The new fixture lists are out today. Everton and Liverpool will square up for the first time on the 27th of September at Goodison, with a return date penciled in for the 17th of January. The Reds have an early home meeting with United just 4 games into the season, while Everton open up their campaign at home to Blackburn and finish away at Fulham. Tranmere away from Prenton Park on the first and final day of the season. They start with Swindon and end with Scunthorpe.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens.
Okay, much of the region has seen some showers today. We seem to have been fairly fortunate here on Merseyside. We're heading for a dry and chilly night. The cloud may thicken over higher areas, and then tomorrow a dry start before the rain moving in later. At maximum temperatures today at 12 and 17.
City Talk 105.9 weather with Panorama Kitchens. Showrooms at Belmont Road, Anfield and Woodchurch Road, Prenton.
And you've got the very latest. Live from Liverpool, I'm Steve Hollersaw.
City Cafe.
Special guests.
Entertainment news.
And a guide to life.
City Talk 105.9.
Yes, it's that time of day. It's 3:05. And we're out of the studio and into the City Cafe here at the top of the tower, catching up on all our entertainment news and show busy news and what's going on as far as the arts are concerned. Had a few emails in. We were talking about the Royal Iris in the Talking Frankly slot we've just had, and I've just personally had to have a lie down after that hour. Anyway, the Royal Iris apparently is in a sad state in Gravesend. Thanks for that. Ray's given me that information, and also I've had an email from Adam, who says, just listening to your show, it's great, first time listener. Well, thank you, welcome, Adam. He says, great footy information. How do people hear it in other countries? Well, they hear it in other countries, Adam, by listening online. You can go online and to the webpage, and you can click in and listen to it anywhere around the world, live. He also says, that was fab in Japan. Was he really there? Yes, he was really there. He's really in Japan. He says, does he work with City Radio Talk? No. And says, those guys are funny, glad you enjoyed them. I'll listen again. Oh, well, that's a new listener there, Adam, so thanks for that. So, yeah, let us know what you think. You can give us a call or you can send us a text. Start the text with the word talk, leave a space, then your message to 610 25, or email dean@citytalk.fm. Right, time to catch up with all the entertainment news.
Here we go.
Showtime. Everything that's entertainment. This is VIP.
Yes, with our very own Ali McBride.
Hello.
Now, did you watch any of Big Brother?
I knew my weekend was running out, and I thought, oh no, I said I'd watch some of Big Brother. Yeah. So I clicked it on last night to find the most peculiar Scottish man sat in that ridiculous chair they now have in the diary room.
Oh, yes.
Which is kind of as if it's an overblown inflatable spaceship-esque silver seat. Very odd, very odd. This bonkers Scottish guy trying to pretend like he wasn't involved with the competition and having a go with everybody.
Strange.
That was enough for me to go...
Is it a new contestant? Or was he one of the original?
I don't think he was an original because I didn't recognise him.
No.
Very odd. Did you catch any?
No.
So our Big Brother slot...
Not doing it today.
Not existing
no,
yet. Okay,
no.
Let's move on.
Yes, move on, swiftly.
Well, X Factor, of course, still revving up, and Cheryl Cole...
Yeah.
She's obviously taken the place of Sharon.
Yeah.
And there's mixed reactions. Sugar Babe Keisha Buchanan has said that she doesn't think that she was a good choice as a judge. Isn't it funny how they all start getting their knives out? Because I'm sure that if she'd been asked to do it...
She'd have jumped at it.
Yeah, she thinks that Boy George would have been better in the hot seat, saying that he's got more experience and many more years behind him to make a better
interesting
judge.
Choice. Yeah.
I think that's an interesting point, but I'm not sure how reliable Mr. Boy George would be for a series of that... size, because it's quite relentless, isn't it?
And he's quite a size now as well, isn't he?
Did you see the documentary on him?
No.
There was a documentary, when he was doing his community service?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It kind of...
Out in New York.
Yeah, it followed him at that time, and it was quite sad, really. He's quite a troubled character, but quite aggressive as well, quite defensive about his past. I thought, He doesn't seem like a happy boy. I'm not sure how he's doing these days, but I certainly wouldn't put him on the X Factor panel. I think that
that's what might make it exciting.
Well, exactly, the unpredictability of it all. Just like our Frank Maudsley.
Indeed, yes.
Well, but the thing was as well, Cheryl, she's had a gaffe. She said that she's not even a fan of the show, so she's not really got off to a good start.
Oh.
She says she prefers Strictly Come Dancing and rarely watches Simon Cowell.
Well, what fun's to saying that? Can you just lie and say it's my favourite show on TV?
I stay in to watch it every night. I know.
Anyway,
she's signed on the dotted line and she'll be there until the bitter end.
Anyway, we were talking about Big Brother just then. Just had a quick email in from Lee, who's one of our regular listeners. Hi, Lee. He says, just a quick question, Dino. Would you go on Celeb Big Brother if you were asked? He said you could get some tips from Claire Sweeney. Because she was on Celebrity Big Brother. Yes, well, I was asked, and I said no. So there you go, Lee. That's the answer to that one.
I think, best to be the spectator when it comes to things like that.
I think so, indeed,
absolutely.
Yes.
But we promise to pick up on it so that we can have a bit of a gossip about it at some point. Now, the young Emma Watson has taken the place of Keira Knightley as the new face of Chanel. The Harry Potter star, the young girl.
Oh, Emma, I know the name. Oh, yes, she's taken the place of who?
Keira Knightley.
For?
Chanel.
Oh, right.
You know, Coco Chanel is Keira looks beautiful in this kind of pink satin dress, and she kind of glides through the hall and then, dabs on a bit of Chanel and bags a gorgeous man. Well, she's out.
I didn't think that girl would be old enough.
She's 18. Can you believe that?
18.
Still young.
I didn't think she was that old.
Still young, but she's been signed up for a deal worth £1.5 million a year.
Mind you, they know that she's known all over the world, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We think of it as an English girl, an English schoolgirl, as was until recently, but in actual fact, she's an international film star, make no mistake. And you think of the potential of that audience that she's reaching.
Yeah, and
they know that.
18, she is an adult, so, and I think for... It's whenever anybody's cast in those roles that they become very famous for being a child star, effectively. Mm. It's very difficult, isn't it, to move on from that. So we'll see how she looks in these adverts. But if they're spending £1.5 million a year, then they must see something in her. Yeah. That's going to shift the old perfume.
Absolutely.
And Keira, she's been out about a lot, and she's been on the ropes again about her weight. She's very slim, very slim. But her mum this time is now defending her, saying that she doesn't suffer from anorexia. She simply inherited her dad's slim physique. Now, I'm not sure what size she is, but I'd put her at a size zero.
Mm.
And she was quoted as saying that the doctor had said to her, if she was going to go anywhere near a size 10, she'd have to eat a lot of junk, you know, to put on that kind of weight. But then what that's what... So it'd be 6, 8, 10. So that's 3 dress sizes.
Oh, is that what it goes from 0 to 6?
No, it's 0, 2, 6, 4, 2, 4, 6.
Oh, it does go 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. And she's 0.
Well, I'd say, well, you know, the Victoria
she
made...
nothing?
She made it, you know, Victoria, of course, Victoria Beckham was famous for the size zero, and that was the fashion, wasn't it, to be a size zero. I think it... Do you know what? I'm not sure if that's the American sizes, because they're different, aren't they? So maybe a zero over there is a 4 here.
Ah, right, OK.
But either way, she's very, very slim, and I'd just love to know what she eats.
Well, nothing.
So, I mean,
sawdust.
They can defend all they want. My favourite interview that I saw was when Michael Parkinson had Victoria Beckham on the show with Clarissa Dixon Wright.
Oh, no, I wish I'd seen that.
Talk about yin and yang.
Yeah, yeah.
And Clarissa just was looking at Victoria like she was an alien that had just landed.
Looking at her like she was a drink of water.
Well, of course, she looked like a drink of water next to her.
Yeah.
And she just kept turning to him going, but what do you eat? You know, in that slightly kind of robust way.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, she sort of said, chicken with the skin off and a bit of salad. And Clarissa's just melting, going, that's not eating, that's not food. Could you imagine? Oh, very, very entertaining.
Jane's just lent me her book, by the way, Clarissa.
Oh, the cookbook?
Yeah, yeah. No, not the cookbook, her book. A life story.
Oh, Victoria's?
No!
Clarissa's?
Clarissa, yeah. Has Victoria Beckham written a cookbook?
Oh, could you imagine if she did?
It's one page.
Yeah, exactly. No, Clarissa Dixon Wright, she... I read an interview with her that said how would she be impressed getting taken for dinner or being made dinner by a man. She said, I'd love nothing more but to gnaw on a pig's trotter.
Only she could say that.
She can get away with it. No, so
real character, colourful life she's had, you know.
Oh, amazing.
Colourful life, yeah.
And had been extremely wealthy and then lost the lot. Drink problem.
A barrister, you know, very, very learned lady.
Yeah.
So I haven't started it yet. I'm looking forward to reading that.
Oh, well, let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
Now, R. Kelly is said to be over the moon at being acquitted of all 14 child pornography charges against him. And we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, it's not like us to have these kind of serious stories in the art news. But, of course, it was big news. It was a Chicago jury found the music star not guilty of making an explicit sex video over the weekend. So good news for him there. The prosecutors claimed it showed him having sex with a girl as young as 13, but R. Kelly and the alleged victim, who's now 23, both denied they were the people shown on the tape. And of course, R. Kelly's spokesman said his client is relieved it's all over.
Robert has said all along that he believed in our system and he believes in God, and that when all the facts came out in court, he would be cleared of these terrible charges. He did not expect that it would take 6.5 years. This has been a terrible ordeal for him and his family, and at this point, all he wants to do is move forward and try to put it behind him.
Oh, so there we go. That's good news for him. Absolutely fantastic news for him. Obviously, hopefully he can move on from that. 6.5 years in the waiting for that result. So
brilliant,
he'll be pleased
well, I'm sure he'll be
on.
Very relieved, yes.
Now, of course, the big the photos are here. Wayne and Colleen.
Oh, gosh.
The wedding photos have been flying around the office.
Kim was hanging on to her copy this morning, wasn't she?
Yes.
But she let me have a look, and then I said, Kim, I have to give you this back. It's just, you know,
well,
I don't want to be responsible for it getting nicked out of the office.
The magazine has finally hit the shelves, and the snaps cost around £2.5 million. They're featured in a double edition, and highlights include a gigantic cake of pink champagne fountain and white doves. What did you think?
I didn't see that picture.
There was one of the doves being released.
I did think there were. I mentioned no names, but you know, there were certain girls going, I'm not keen on the dress.
To be the girl, it's going to be debated by girls.
Well, she obviously loved it, didn't she?
Absolutely, and it was her day.
Yeah,
she could turn up in a tutu if she wanted to.
I did say that to you though, didn't I? I said I looked at one of the photos and I said, Why didn't they put a bit of concealer on Wayne Rooney's face?
I know, and he was all shiny.
Bit of powder,
well.
Yeah.
She looked absolutely beautiful. Ooh. I thought she's really come into her own.
Radiant, she looked, didn't she?
You kind of go back 5 years. Just, she's absolutely transformed, you know. She's taken to superstardom like a duck to water.
Absolutely. Well, she's a star in her own right, isn't she?
She looked amazing. I thought she looked fantastic. I thought the only shame for me with the pictures was that you didn't really get a sense of where they were. And I think that was part of the romance for me, being out in Italy. There was a few nice sort of court shots.
Oh, there was a nice one looking down into the chapel. Did you not see that one?
Yes, I just wanted to see more. Sort of outside, get a sense of where they were and why they chose that location. But maybe it was the weather, because of course it did rain at the start of the day, and I don't know if it continued all day.
I was reading in one of the papers today, there's a bit of contention over that, where they were actually married, because there's some reports saying that because it's deconsecrated ground, that the wedding may not be legal.
Oh dear. Well, we'll keep you posted.
But their spokesman said, or their spokesperson said, no, everything was checked out right down to the finest, minutest detail.
Because 2 days before, of course, they were somewhere else doing the legal bit, weren't they? Because we talked about it.
Were they in a different location?
Yes.
Then.
So that was almost the formal bit, and then, you know, she came away and did that, so.
Like the, bit like Charles and Camilla.
Yes.
The registry office, that's the legal bit, wasn't it? And then they had a service at the Royal Chapel.
Very fashionable now. A lot of people are doing that. They're kind of getting married abroad and then coming home and have a party or, you know, whatever way. But, you know, she's married now.
Yeah.
They've done it.
Over and done with.
That's your lot, love.
Baby's next.
Oh, yes. And another £2.5 million centre spread, no doubt.
I'll bet, yeah. There we go, then. That's all our entertainment news from Miss Sally McBride. And she enjoyed it so much, she'll probably do it all over again tomorrow. Right, so, here we are. We're in the cafe. You're listening to The Sullivan Show with me, Dean Sullivan, with you right up until 4 o'clock this afternoon and every afternoon. A new exhibition... a photography exhibition, actually, called Edgy Cities, Take a Look on the West Side. It uses the work of local photographer John Lafferty to depict the city as a place and space constantly on the move. That's at the World Museum. Open every day from 10 till 5. And free entry, as is all our museums. Yeah, so don't have to pay anything. The Almiro Gallery, they've been on a couple of times to tell us about exhibitions down at their space. They present a collection from their strangest resident artist, that's in inverted commas there, Rachel McCarthy. It's a new collection of cartoons, and that runs until June the 29th, and that's out in Waterloo. We've mentioned that gallery before. 45 Mersey View in Waterloo. That's free as well. Open Monday to Friday, 9 till 6. And if you were listening on Friday, I think it was Friday, we were interviewing... the author, Esther Wilson, the playwright Esther Wilson, about her new play, Ten Tiny Toes, which is coming on to the Everyman. It's inspired by the anti-war campaign of Rose Gentle, whose son Gordon was killed in Iraq in 2004, and written, as she also wrote, Unprotected, which was a great piece that I saw quite a few months ago now at the Everyman Theatre about sex workers that had been murdered and so on. Pretty harrowing stuff, I must say. But it was a great piece of theatre, and it went on to Edinburgh and won a few prizes up there. And also, coming up, and hopefully we'll be talking to her on the show, this is coming on at the Empire Theatre at the end of June. It's on a national tour. Hello, Dolly. It was actually the winner of 10 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. And starring Anita Dobson and Darren Day. And that's on at the Empire Theatre from the 30th of June for a week. And it's on a national 30-week tour. So, there you go. Still with The Sullivan Show with you right up until 4 o'clock today here on City Talk 105.9.
Paul Jacobs.
There's always going to be people that are going to be struggling financially for whatever reason.
Ah, but there are the people who maybe haven't checked their bank statements, will try and buy something and realise they've been knocked back for credit or they can't afford it. Maybe they haven't realised the situation in the country and therefore themselves as individuals are in at the moment.
You are right there, because we're certainly noticing with loans, with mortgages, if you want to get credit or finance from somewhere,
Whereas if you go back 2 years, people would have been throwing money at you. You know, you remember we saw these silly mortgages at five times your salary?
Yep.
That's changed completely now because there's no liquidity within the banks. There's not a lot of money in the pot to borrow or to lend to people.
Paul Jacobs.
Weekday afternoons from 4.
City Talk 105.9.
A swift international story. 365 days a year, Kate's business never stops. But because family holidays are important to her, Kate sometimes does. But thanks to the Swift Dispatch International Courier Service, Kate takes delivery of design proofs poolside, which stops her business, and not her, going down the chute.
For international deliveries, Swift Dispatch is affordable, reliable, and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now. Or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on.
You know, I love Buffet Star. Delicious, mouth-watering, scrumptious, piping hot, healthy Chinese and Thai food. Eat as much as you like for under 6 quid. And talking of squid, don't you just love it pan-fried with lashings of salt and chilli?
Mm-hmm. Buffet Star. 60 delicious Thai and Chinese dishes to choose from for less than 6 quid. Buffet Star. Hanover Street, Liverpool. Just round the corner from Central Station.
I'm fed up of going to work every day for a boss that doesn't rate me. I'm tired of making other people rich. I'd love to start my own business, but I'm just not sure where to start.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help.
If you're looking to start your own business, then speak to Business Link Northwest today. You can get free, impartial business advice to help you start your own business. So just ask. Call 0845 00 6688 or click businesslink.gov.uk/northwest.
Dino Secure can help you beat the burglar.
Because Dino Secure can supply and fit intruder alarm systems, access control, and CCTV.
Professionally installed, fully guaranteed, and with a 24-hour customer care line, Dino Secure are dedicated to providing safety and peace of mind for any home.
Call today on 0800 121 999 or visit dino.com and we'll give you and your property a free security check and advice.
Nothing beats beating a burglar. So call Dino Secure today.
City Talk.
Words of wisdom.
Living on Earth is expensive, but it does include a free trip around the sun every single year.
This is City Talk.
The City Cafe.
City
Cafe. City Talk 105.9.
Yes, we're out of the studio and in the City Cafe now. With you right up until 4 o'clock. It's not far off. 25 past three. Just quickly, another email in from Doreen. Says, hello, Dean. Good show as usual. Those Franks are so funny. Glad you like them. Trying to do my housework and listen at the same time. Nice to hear from your rover in Japan. Brightens up my day to think of far-off places. And I like the showbiz news too. And that's love from Dell. Thank you very much for that, Doreen. Doreen Watkins. So if you've got an email or a text or even call us if you want, it's all the usual numbers. So 01517081059, or you can send me a text. Start your text with the word talk, leave a space, then your message and send it to 61025, or you can email dean@citytalk.fm. Now then, a celebration of creative wealth and health being in the St Michael's and Loch Lane area. It's an opportunity to renew existing friendships and make new ones across the health and creative sectors in a friendly and interactive setting. This event is open to all. Joining me to talk about this in the cafe now is Julie Hanna, Paula O'Malley and Jackie Swanson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Jackie, midsummer dreams, you were saying earlier.
Yeah, midsummer.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Dreams. Maybe Julie should talk.
Okay. Yeah. Passing it over there now.
Well, Jackie's involved very much in delivering our midsummer dreams this year. This is the third year we've had a midsummer dreams day, and it's all about bringing artists and art into our lives to enhance our health and well-being. And the first time we did it, we're in St Bride's Church, and then we've been to St Nick's opposite the Liver Buildings, and now we're off to Lark Lane and to Aintree Hospital as well, as you will hear. And it's all grown out of a programme that's part of Capital of Culture 08, where, you know, we all know about Superland Bananas and Klimt and all those exciting things, but Capital Culture is also about people and regenerating the city and about how art and culture can help us to be healthier, happier, and hopefully that our well-being is better as part of this process, really. So this event, this day, is all part of that.
Excellent. And how's it connected to the to your work?
To Ainshie Hospitals.
Yeah.
I'm the arts coordinator for Ainshie Hospitals, and that's a fairly new post.
I would never have thought that they would have such a position.
Well, it's about well-being as well as ill health. Mm. And although we're a very large acute hospital and we're a teaching hospital, there's still people in the hospital maybe for long periods of time that are recovering. And it's about creating an aura of well-being for all the patients and indeed the staff with the Improving Working Lives policy. And the hospital are just getting used to having an arts coordinator, really. I've been a bit invisible for the first 6 months, but as new artworks are appearing throughout the hospital, more and more people are realising that we're there and seeing what we can do for them, so that it might be brightening up reception areas. We're going to put a poetry and waiting rooms project in, linked to the waiting project that Julie Hannah from the Capital of Culture is doing. There's we've had an artist working in the hospital last week, where we had our own little Superlam banana competition. And all the staff, from consultants to security guards, had the opportunity to go in a competition to design their own. And that they'll be unveiled on Thursday. And that looks like... And it's made the hospital feel more like a community, if you like.
But it's a very interesting concept, that, isn't it? That, you know, to view somewhere like that as not a place just to be ill in, but it is still part of the community.
Oh, it really is part of the community. And, you know, for myself, it's my community hospital, if you like, and my parents, and my father was there the other week. And, again, he was kind of the well ill, and he was there for a week, and he doesn't do daytime television. He would normally be pottering. Mm. He found it very difficult. Mm. So... they want something to do, and I haven't got to the patients yet, but if there's anyone out there listening, I will be coming to do interactions
with
the patients.
Also, haven't you found that different departments in the hospital kind of didn't know each other, so felt very isolated? But by doing some of these arts projects, it's brought people together, hasn't it, across the hospital community?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, very much so, yeah. Because also we have to be very creative, because, of course, we're a charity. No NHS money is spent on art. Only charity.
I was going to say, where's your budget come from?
Not from the NHS money. So
what do you rely on then?
Charitable funds. Yeah, right. So I've actually got a branded arts programme called Partia or Parsha. It's promoting art in Aintree, and it's deliberately not to be said in any one way, because it's like art. You know, everyone sees it in a different way, so everyone can say this, Partia, Parsha. Promoting art in Aintree. So if you want to give any money towards the arts in Aintree, that's where you send it to.
And you have got a grant as well, haven't you, through the Heritage Lottery?
I went in a fortunate position that we had a Heritage Lottery grant when I first arrived, and I was in a position where I had to spend that immediately, and we recorded the history of the hospital through artworks. And it was a great place to start from, because I didn't know anything about Aintree Hospital, no real background in health. So to find out that it was an isolation hospital, that people spent years in the TB wards, and if you're a child, you could take your sibling in with you. That must have been exciting for the sibling. They weren't even sick and got to stay in hospital for 2 years. But, you know, things like that. And yeah, a very different time, when they really didn't have anything to cure you. To today, where you're in and out of hospital, and they, you know, you can prolong life very well indeed. But so it's kind of all linking in to creativity in the NHS, which was the first project that brought about Midsummer Dreams.
It grew out of a project that we had, some workshops that Paula actually was involved in 3 years ago, and Claire Campbell, who's a wild woman. So hello, Claire, if you're out there. And Claire went into the Royal Liverpool Hospital, lots of different health settings, GP settings, to engage patients, staff, volunteers, around what is it, what makes us creative people, and how does creativity link to our health? And we wanted to celebrate the end of that project, and that's where Midsummer Dreams was born.
And how does it then? To ask the question you've just posed.
I suppose for me, in lots of different ways, I think superficially we get a lot of fun, a lot of enjoyment through the arts, and obviously that's good for us. I think it can also create a very reflective place that, yes, we have got, if we think about Aintree Hospital, we've got a lot of technology and a lot of medical advances now. But often for us to feel a sense of well-being, we need to make sense of what's happening to us. There needs to be some meaning. We need to understand what's happening. And I think arts kind of gives that space for that to happen. There's a lot of being with other people, that sort of sociableness by doing art activity together, going on a journey together through writing, through visual art. I had, during this time that I've been in this post, I've had a couple of serious operations for cancer. And what I found, it was through writing that I made sense of what was happening to me. And I think we often now in health, the health sectors, we split up, you know, we treat our body and we treat our mind, but it's all linked together, isn't it? And of course the spirit's in there somewhere. And for me, and observing people, arts and creativity is what brings all that together. And I suppose that's why I feel that the NHS has a responsibility for bringing arts into its settings. Mm.
Yeah. So Paula, what further things have you got planned for the patients in particular?
Well, we are going to run some kind of... I've been with Vanessa from the Tate this morning, and we're looking at the hair community workshops and how we can get involved with that, either bringing the Tate into the hospital or maybe taking people from the hospital into the Tate. That, say they've got the Klimt exhibition on at the moment. So taking time to be led through that... the Klimt story, if you like, the works, and then making something associated around Klimt, and that's very much how we're going to be progressing. I've got, links with a lot of the galleries now. The National Museums and Galleries are bringing the People and Portraits exhibition into the hospital in September, and it's to make people start thinking, and so not only that, they'll come out of hospital and they'll want to go and see more stuff because if we can engage a fantastic project that we've just done, it's called Memory Lane, and that is in the Department of Medicine for the Elderly, and you must get down and see it. It's truly great. And the ward manager there, Colin Hunt, when they're rehabilitating patients that have had strokes or falls, they use the corridors and the stairs to encourage their mobility. And basically, they had a bit of a poster about washing your hands and that kind of thing. And he asked me whether we could have some photographs of old Liverpool. Well, I engaged an artist and we got this fabulous montage of the 20s, 30s, 40s of Liverpool at leisure, at work, the Vernon Girls, the tyre factories, the biscuit factories, 34 panels, then six huge stairwell coverings of the sport. And believe me, we did count every single picture of Everton and Liverpool, but we have had complaints.
To keep them even.
Yeah, absolutely. Sporting personalities, I think you're... the showbiz personalities, you might be on there somewhere.
Okay, very good.
But, and Phil Redmond found himself, didn't
he? Phil Redmond, well, found a thorny thought.
Bound to be there.
But the occupational therapist said it's made a huge difference to people's motivation because they want to get to the next scene.
Yes.
And there's no information about where it is because they use quizzes to say, what is that picture house? Where was it? Was that in the corner of Rice Lane or was it in town? And some very famous locations and iconic things like the Punch and Judy in the 50s, things that, sadly, I don't remember them, but I've heard about them.
Excellent. Now, so, Jackie, what can we expect then if we get down to St Michael's and Lark Lane on the 21st?
We've got lots of different activities on in lots for lots of different people. We've got a parent baby and toddler room.
And in there we've got different activities like storytelling and parent and child massage and yoga and singing activities and storytelling. So like parents can come in with their children and babies and join in all these activities that are free of charge. We've also got an art area where there's all different art making activities, storytelling and a dance workshop and things like that. There's a treatment room with all different therapies from aromatherapy to massage to Reiki, Indian head massage and reflexology. And also we've got a play on as well in the evening in the same room that all the treatments have been going on. And we also have a live harp player that plays music along while everybody's being massaged, which creates a fantastic atmosphere.
Great. Sounds like a, yeah. sounds like a great day out.
We've got workshops as well upstairs. There's lots of different workshops going on from yoga and to Tai Chi. And also we've got entertainment all day in the hall, a vegetarian cafe. And in the park, we've got an arts and environment tent, which has got there's loads of activities going on there all day for everyone to get involved in the old bowling green in Sefton Park.
Excellent. Well, I hope you all have a fantastic day. I'm sure it'll be great. And thanks all three of you for joining me.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Special guest for this hour, Kiki D. Good afternoon, Kiki.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Very well indeed. Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Now, I believe that we're going to be bombarded, aren't we, with brand new reissued and remastered albums?
Yeah, all my albums from the 70s on the Rocket Record label, Elton John's label, are out on CD for the first time.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Now,
and, of course, you mentioned Elton there, famously. You sang with Elton a couple of times, didn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we did True Love and we did Don't Go Breaking My Heart. And, yeah, we've had some good times in the studio, as they say.
Excellent, great. Now, I didn't know this until I started reading up about you, Kiki. You're actually from Bradford originally.
I am.
Yorkshire lass.
It's not far from Liverpool, you know.
No, it isn't. I've got friends who live over Bradford way, so I know it well. I actually did pantomime that a few years ago as well.
At the Alhambra?
At the Alhambra, indeed, yes.
Very
yes.
Nice.
So did you get to go back there much? Do you still have family there?
My brother and sister are there, and their families, and I get up to see them, you know.
And of course, you started your career in Bradford.
I did. I started singing in Bradford and Leeds. I sang with a dance band in Leeds before I got discovered by a record company when I was 17. So it all started there.
Where did the name Kiki D come from? Is that your real name?
No. It was completely fabricated. I got this record deal when I was 17 and I came to London with my dad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to London. And the record company, it was the sort of 60s, and they wanted a catchy name, you know, cute, cookie, catchy name, and we came up with Kiki D.
Great, and you've actually sang vocals for Dusty Springfield in the early days.
I did. When I was starting out, I sang on a lovely song of hers called Some of Your Loving, written by Carole King.
Oh, that's a great number, yes. Oh, you're actually on that one, are you? Great.
And Little by Little, another single of hers.
What was it like working with Dusty?
Fantastic. We had the same manager for a while, so I was quite starstruck, you know. And it was wonderful to work with her great voice as well.
Because, of course, Dusty was a huge star, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
And you also have the distinction of being the first white British artist to be signed by Tamla Motown. I used to love Tamla Motown stuff. I didn't realise that you'd been signed up to that label.
Yeah, all this stuff was going on, and, you know, without really anybody knowing who I was. And, you know, but I was having all these amazing musical experiences. And I got to go to Detroit when I was 21 and do 12 weeks of, you know, over there, and made an album I listened to the tracks, actually, funny enough, recently, and they sound pretty good still, you know.
Is this one of the... Is this included in the albums being re-released and remastered?
No, these are just the Elton John period, you know, the albums from the Rocket Records. And there's also an album I did for EMI in the 80s.
I've just been reading your background notes. You've actually did an episode of the Benny Hill Show. I can't imagine you on that. Were you one of the girls that he chased around?
No, I did a musical spot.
Right.
You know, they used to... And now, ladies and gentlemen, here she is.
Yeah. Excellent. So what's happening at the moment, then? Are you touring around? Can we expect to see you in any concert halls around the place?
You might see me with my acoustic guitar partner. We do an acoustic show now, Carmela Luggeri, and we've been working together, 12 years or so now, and we're doing our own albums, and we sell them at gigs. They're also coming out on EMI later in the year, which is great.
Great, good, yeah. So where can people get the albums? Are they going to be available in the shops?
Yeah, they should be in the shops now, hopefully.
Well, Kiki, we wish you the best of luck with them.
Thanks very much for spreading the word for me.
Oh, we're flying the flag for Kiki D. We love Kiki D.
God bless you.
All right, speak to you soon.
Formby Cycles Sefton Triathlon is the biggest community triathlon in the UK. From 9 till 4, Saturday, June 28th on Crosby Beach, join over 1,000 competitors running, swimming and cycling their way to the finish line. With medals presented by Kenny Dalglish, do it for charity, do it for fun, do it because you can. For information and registration forms, visit seftontriathlon.co.uk today. Cash for Kids invites you to Formby Cycles Sefton Triathlon in association with St Mary's College Crosby and City Talk 105.9.
Oh, hi, Kate. Come on in. Excellent timing, yeah. Pull up a chair. I was just about to ask you to come and see me, actually. What with Jane leaving last week and Tony getting his new job, Derek going to the competition, not to mention today's news about Sue, Matt and Craig. Thought we'd really better sit down together and discuss exactly how we can embrace the change. Oh, you're going to tell me you're leaving, aren't you?
Yeah.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. citytalkjobs.co.uk.
To be taught by inspirational professors and top academics.
To have access to the country's best educational resources, including the fastest growing virtual learning environment.
To focus on my future career.
To discover a life with more meaning.
That's why I chose Liverpool Hope University.
The Liverpool Hope Open Day takes place on Saturday, June the 21st. To find out more, click hope.ac.uk or text HOPE to 84880.
Text charged at standard network rate.
Are you creative?
Energetic.
And full of ideas?
Then come and work with us.
At Halton Borough Council, we'll give you all the training you need to work from home as a registered childminder. So for a taste of a new career working with children, visit our Childcare Information Day on Wednesday, June the 18th at Halton Lee Shopping Centre. Or call Halton Children's Information Service on 01928 704 306 or click halton.gov.uk now.
In association with National Childcare Month.
Described as the most important and dynamic business event in the region, the LDP Business Hub 2008 will be a two-day business extravaganza. Taking place at the Liverpool Echo Arena on June 17th and 18th, the LDP Business Hub is a unique opportunity for learning, networking and promoting your business. Be inspired by our keynote speakers, including the co-founder of Coffee Republic and the managing director of Goo Chocolate Puds. For information on all seminars, hub activity and to register for free, visit ldpbusinesshub.co.uk.
The City Cafe. City Talk 105.9.
A song called Today's Another Day, which is the latest release for my special guest in the cafe. I'm joined by Laura Critchley. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very, very well.
That sounds great. That reminded me a little bit of Sheryl Crow.
Oh, well, I'm flattered because she's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you were saying there that you've met her.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we share drummers, Jeremy Stacey. So, she's just like one of my idols. So,
now, Laura, you're in town or you're back in town because you're a home Liverpool home girl. You were playing at the arena last night. Tell us about that.
Oh, God, it was so good. So good. I think you always worry about coming back to your hometown because you think, is it going to be an anti-climax? You know, because you're building yourself up for it. But it just topped the rest of the gigs for me.
And what did you think of the arena?
Oh.
And to have that sort of venue in Liverpool.
I know. And where it is as well. Like, I've been away for two... I've been living in London for 2 years. I came back, like, yesterday, and I haven't seen half the things going up round here, and the arena just took my breath away. And the way it's all, you know, the water around it, it's just so nice.
Great venue to play. Now, of course, you were supporting Boyzone.
Yes, I am.
How's that? That must be an experience in itself.
Being on tour with five hunky, gorgeous lads. It's a shame they're all married, though. Even Stephen. It's brilliant. I've been friends with Ronan for the past 2 years, and he's really helped me out and supported me. And he, you know, he loves the album and stuff. And I was lucky enough to sing with him last year at his Emerald and Ivy Ball, which was amazing.
What number did you do?
I did the Leanne Rimes and Ronan duet, Last Thing on My Mind, but I also sung. The year before I was there watching Delta Goodrum sing at it, and then he asked me to do it last year. So I did three of my own songs in front of like Rod Stewart and John Bon Jovi and Westlife. It was really surreal, it really was.
Excellent. Yeah. So what was it like playing a Liverpool house, Liverpool audience?
Mad. I mean, I could see my mum and dad in the crowd, which always kind of gets my stomach going because my dad's my worst critic. So it's I was just praying that it was all right, you know, and with it being Father's Day and everything.
And are they in the business as well, music business?
I think Dad would like to think he was, but by his singing in the shower. But no, they're not by any means in the business.
So how did you get started then? Where did it all begin?
I started singing when I was, I wrote my first song when I was 16, sent it into Billy Butler at Radio Merseyside, actually.
Did he play it?
He played it every day. Oh, he never stopped. And that's what gave me the bug.
That's great support.
Yeah. And moved to, I gigged around the pubs around Liverpool and Birkenhead for 3 years when I left school. And then I just said to my mum and dad 2 years ago, do you know what? I'm going to give this a shot in London. They were like, God, you must be mad. So I moved down with like 50 quid and a MySpace site. And got signed within 3 months.
MySpace site?
That's all I had to promote myself then, really.
So what did you do, make like a little video of yourself?
Well, it was just I shoved like four songs up of my own songs on MySpace and just started emailing people left, right and centre saying, you know, I'm down here, I'm gigging here, come and see me. And it was a gig at London Bridge where I got spotted by Andrew Gemmell and Jeremy Marsh. And Jeremy Marsh used to run RCA, he signed Annie Lennox, Craig David, and he just said on that night we need to do something with Laura. So them two set up an independent record label just for me, so I'm the only artist on it. So so I've done four tours now. I toured with the Sugar Babes last year, little Ray Quinn did a tour with him, and Deacon Blue, which was great, and now I'm on the Boyzone tour.
Brilliant.
So it's been a whirlwind journey for me.
Laura, you make it all sound so easy. It can't have been that easy, surely.
Yeah, and I did all this in a week.
Yeah.
it's hard work. You have to sacrifice everything, obviously. You know yourself, you're in the industry. It's blooming hard work. But the rewards are amazing. I've sung on Robbie Williams' album just by chance meeting him out in Los Angeles. I've, you know, managed to sing with Ronan. And, you know, some of the things I've achieved, you know, if it stopped here today, then I'm so happy with what I've done, you know. But it won't stop here because I'm just carrying on and I'm writing more stuff. I've just started writing with Steve Booker, who wrote Mercy with Duffy, and Diane Warren, who's a legend of a song.
Now, Diane Warren, I've got to tell you my Diane Warren story. Have you met her?
Yeah, okay.
We were out on holiday in Barbados, right, and someone enters their house or whatever, and across the road, you could see the scene, there used to be this bar that we used to go to and have a little bit of supper or whatever, and we were in there one night, we'd had a few drinks, and I looked over, because I'm a big fan of hers, big fan, but she's not that well known unless you sort of...
Oh, no,
you
know, one would recognize her in the street,
no,
really.
But unless you actually study who's written what or whatever, you know, on different songs for different artists and so on, like, because she's written for the likes of Johnny Mathis and Barbra Streisand and all those sort of big
Aerosmith,
names.
Yeah, Celine Dion.
Of course, yeah. And I looked along the restaurant and I thought, She's the double of Diane Warren. Couldn't possibly
so
be.
So you knew what she looked like?
I knew what she looked like because I'd seen an article or whatever. So because I'd had a few drinks at this point, I thought, I'm going to go up and say hello and just say, I really love... I really, really love, you know, your work. I think you're fantastic. Yeah. Well, we ended up spending the night together joined our gang with her gang and it was absolutely great. But you know, the last I saw of her, she went running... It was dark. She went running off into the sea.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. And I thought, oh, my
God.
She's
mad.
I hope I'm not... Oh, yeah.
She's completely mad.
Oh, completely bonkers. But I thought, that was literally the last I saw. She was running into the sea, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be responsible for the death of Diane Warren. I can't believe it. One of the greatest songwriters ever. But she is a fantastic writer.
Oh, she is, yeah. Yeah, she's great. So cool.
What sort of stuff did you work on with her?
Well, what it was I've loved her since I was younger.
See me just taking over the show then.
And I just said to my manager, because we were thinking about people for me to work with that, you know, would be good for me. And I just said I'd love to work with Diane Warren, but there's probably no chance, you know. And they sent an album off and got in touch with her. And the same day that email went off, she got back to us and said, God, I really like Laura's voice, really like the album. I've got a song, you know, that would really suit her. So she sent us over this song called The Cost of Love.
Yeah.
And she doesn't give her songs out willy-nilly, so I was really honoured. And it's... amazing. I should have actually brought it into play.
Should have brought it in, yeah.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah. I've just recorded it the other day, but it's great, and it's rocky, and it's a bit Kelly Clarkson, and it's got me all over it. I love it, yeah.
But is it a typical song of hers, though?
Yeah, it's a hit. It probably will be, like, the next single or something for me, yeah. It's great, it really.
So this is going to be on the album, then?
This will be on the new album coming out at the end of July.
Fantastic. Yeah. What's the album called?
Oh, do you know what? I need help on that because I've got 5 working titles.
Oh, right. So you haven't decided yet?
Yeah, Answers on a Postcard. That is actually one. Sooner or Later, Rough with the Smooth, Right from the Start, meaning Right from the Start, or, you know, actually From the Start, you know. Mm. So I've got a few. I don't know.
So are they all titles of songs on the album?
No, they're not actually. I'm just trying to think of something to sum me up, really.
Yeah. Well, how about Laura Critchley, the album?
The album?
Laura Critchley album. You know, Barbara Streisand's first album was called The Barbara Streisand Album.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How simple is that? But effective, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is, yeah.
And your name's...
It's so hard trying to pick something to define you.
How many more gigs have you got to do with Boyzone?
I think I've got 9 left.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I'm kind of over halfway, which is sad, really. It's gone too fast.
And what are your plans after that?
I'm going to Nashville to write for the American album because I was out in Los Angeles a month ago doing a showcase in front of 30 record labels, and 2 of them have said they want me back and they want to discuss things, which is Universal and Interscope Records. So I'm back out there at the end of this tour, but they want to team me up with a few writers in Nashville, hopefully Desmond Child. So I'm going to be back out there. Also, I'm going to be going to Japan because Avex have shown interest, which is the biggest record label in Japan. So I'm spreading myself very thin, actually, after this tour. Oh, I'm writing with Guy Chambers at the end of June as well, and I can't wait for that.
That'll be brilliant. So, and who looks after you, then? Have you got a manager, obviously?
I've got a manager, I've got, my press people, my radio people. I'm very much involved in the kind of, you know, the business side as well. I've picked out all my own press people, radio people, and, I like to be involved in that. So I've got a really good team behind me. Excellent. And they're good mates as well.
So it was good to be back in Liverpool last night.
Oh, God, yeah.
So do you come from a musical background, then?
No, I don't, actually. The closest I get to being musical or having musical heritage is my great-uncle was in a band with Jules Holland called the Screaming Blue Messiahs. Back in the day. So that's about as close as I get. So now I've pretty much got into it myself. I joined the church choir when I was 7, did performing arts for 13 years, like from the age of like 9. So, you know, I've just kind of been in it for ages.
And which part of the city are you from?
I'm a posh Scouse. I'm Plazzy Scouse, yeah. I'm a Paul O'Grady head.
Oh,
yeah.
They are. You heard it first on City Talk. Don't?
Yeah, so I'm from South Wirral, Little Sutton.
Right.
You
really are from the posh side, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. Have you seen Ellesmere Port lately?
You can see it from the stadium, that's for sure. Excellent. Well, thanks for coming in and chatting to us.
Oh, it's lovely speaking to you.
And give our best wishes to the lads, Boyzone.
Oh, I will.
You've made good friends with them.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Shane spotted me on a talent show about 5 years ago now, and he said to me, I don't know why you're in this competition. You should already be playing at Wembley. And then, like, the other night, I was playing with him at Wembley. So it's been a real bizarre journey.
It's quite. And where do you get to stay when you're travelling around? Do you all stay in the same hotel, or do they all go in different places?
They stay in very, very nice hotels. I stay in Premier Inns.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm not at that level yet.
Don't worry. I bet you're not far off it, that's for sure.
Oh, you never know. I don't know. You know, I don't mind. It's just somewhere to get your head down, isn't it?
Is there something, though, is this the career that you've got so far, has it all just happened by chance, or have you got some sort of master plan?
The good thing about me and my manager is we always go with the flow. We always go with what feels right. We take opportunities as they crop up. So we pretty much do play things by ear. And that's where you got to be in the music industry now. Nothing's set in stone.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, best of luck with it all.
Thanks, Dean.
Come back, and when your album's out, come back and, let us play it here on City Talk 105.9. Laura Critchley, best of luck with the rest of the tour with
Cheers,
the boys.
Dean.
Send our best wishes to them.
I will.
And good luck with it all.
Thank you.
Great, great. There you go. That's Sullivan Show here on City Talk 105. Jacob's trying to make me laugh there. Get out. What's he like? I don't know. Anyway, that's just about it for today. Thanks for your company. Thanks to all my guests in the studio and in the cafe. If you've enjoyed yourselves, we'll do it all again tomorrow here on City Talk 105.9.
What a very exciting day for you, Sally, all that's coming to fruition.
I know, I'm very emotional about it, I have to say. All my babies have come out onto the street.
And they look, Sally, they look brilliant. They gave me a real big smile when I came into work this morning, saw a couple on Lime Street and by St George's Hall. Have you got a favourite? Is that an unfair question?
I've got 119th favourite.
Oh, very diplomatic, Sally-Anne.
I like Top Banana.
This could not have happened in any other city in the world. I mean, Liverpool have embraced this project with such generosity, good fun. It just couldn't have happened.
Phil Easton.
Kim Hughes.
Phil and Kim at breakfast.
City Talk. 105.9.
If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front Scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 7755 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
Under the Data Protection Act, your company could be at risk if you don't dispose of personal information securely. If your business deals with confidential information, you need Planet Recycling. As one of the Northwest's largest data destruction providers, Planet are fully licensed to shred and dispose of data securely and cost-effectively. Is your company protected? For a free survey, call 0151 922 6668 or click planetrecycling.co.uk.
Across Merseyside.
On 105.9 FM.